Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that is an alternative source of energy. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope looks back at some shows from our childhood. We attempt to review Game of Thrones without spoiling it for Adam. And Shane declares his presidency on a Candace... whatever.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
And Shane declares his presidential candidacy on a platform of Rock Band and semantic website markup. I should not write so many words.
I love it.
Back to you, Shane.
That is a first, Jared.
I know.
You starting the show out after flubbing the intro.
Again.
I'm shaking gloriously. I love it. Episode 111 here, everybody. Scope. Jared, Shane, Adam in the house. A week late, but not a dollar short. If you guys didn't catch our... review of the movie Green Lantern, please feel free to check that on the interwebs.
Give me a one sentence summary.
Suck.
All right. Wow. That's one syllable.
I want a subject and a verb, Shane, please.
It sucked.
My opinion has gone down from you know, after seeing the movie and giving our initial rapid review. I actually have thought less of the film now, or I think less of the film now than I did at the time.
Jared and I have been very, very lucky, Adam. Mm-hmm. The past month or so, we have seen two sneak preview films, one being Super 8, the other being Green Lantern. And this Monday, we will be going to see Transformers 3 sneak preview tickets.
How did you do this?
I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be funny. You're going to laugh because you know, you're so future-minded. Every morning in my house, we get a newspaper, an actual printed piece of material. And in the variety section, which is kind of like an arts and entertainment section here in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, or Minneapolis Tribune, I don't even know what a Star Tribune, Strib, as we call it. They have once a week, maybe, they might have an email or a web address for the ability to try to get screen passes with the movie that is featured in that ad. And we get the paper. Not a lot of people get the paper. That little ad is not featured online, and I read it early. So
why don't you just send me this link every time?
I could probably do that.
You should probably do that.
You know,
don't bother sending it to me because I tend to benefit from your speed anyway.
Just between me and you, Adam, I do have two accounts because you can only get two tickets at a time. So if we can get a babysitter, oftentimes Carrie will go with. Oftentimes, one time Carrie will that we've done it, Carrie went with. But if you would like to go with us sometime, we certainly could do that.
Sure.
But we will be seeing Transformers on Monday. We will have an instant review. Jared and I, what we do is we walk out to the car. We strip down to our Speedos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We lather ourselves up with delicious, fragrant oils.
Yes.
And then Jared turns on his phone, and then we start talking into it. We review the movie that we just saw.
That's nice.
And then we'll post it to the internet. And bam, there you go. Scope listeners benefit.
Sweet.
The Green Lantern film that we saw, Jared, was in 3D.
This one sentence summary is just going all over the place,
well,
by the way.
Well, I actually have in my notes, busy week ahead.
Now,
Transformers.
Now, the Green Lantern film we saw was the one that most audiences saw, too, right?
Yeah, we did not see a different Green Lantern film.
I just want to clarify.
And, you know, we've gone to two previews, as I've said, and both times, Adam, we've sat in like the fourth row from the front. Even though
it's because we don't get there 3 hours early.
We found out people got to Green Lantern 3 hours ahead of time.
Now these are free screenings.
Free screenings.
Right. Yes, just
making sure. For what it's worth, the one preview screening I've seen this year was a movie that I got to see the screening 7 months prior to the release, and
that's amazing.
It wasn't fully edited. You know, the movie was fine, but the music was not the same.
They had music from like Jaws in there. This does not fit a romantic comedy.
Jaws was actually in part of it.
Jaws made an appearance. Yeah. That is a crazy editing decision.
And then you know, it's one of those where they ask you what you liked and didn't like, so I said I liked Jaws, and apparently it's they reworked the movie, so it's Jaws 4D is now the movie. So
I've had two opportunities in my lifetime to see films that far in advance. I've only managed to take advantage of one of them. One of them is the infamous Titanic debacle. I think you and I could have seen that, right? Weren't you part of that too?
No, I was not part of that.
Okay, maybe it was Earl. It was probably Earl.
This was at the we've talked about this on the show, but this was at the beginning of Ain't It Cool. Yeah. And just like the internet movie connection, database. You know, so So Jared, and that was so close.
Yeah, I've told the story on here before, but long story short, we were at a screening for one movie. Some people went around, gave passes to what was ostensibly another film previewing the following week, like some Robert De Niro film. We elected not to go, not really interested in this film. Found out the next day it was actually a early screening of Titanic with James Cameron in attendance.
Whoa. And it was like a four hour cut or something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous,
like that.
But it was like, wow, okay, well, I missed that.
I mean, that's historic. And that was covered on the internet. And so you cannot pass that.
Harry Knowles was talking about it.
He only weighed 300 pounds at that time.
The second one was an advanced screening of Serenity, which I saw pretty well. I mean, if you were following the progress of the film on the web and you knew the website to go to.
Brown Coats.
Was it, or I thought it was can'tstopthesignal.com. Yeah. Something like that. Whatever.
We both probably went to the same screening.
As long as you're swift of keyboard and mouse, you could have gotten tickets to that. Yeah. So it wasn't like it was hugely exclusive. But they did have, in certain areas, cities, members of the cast attending, and Ron Glass was at ours. I actually still have a piece of Serenity promotional artwork or whatever with his signature.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you actually have a piece of Ron Glass. Someone killed him, chopped him up into pieces, and that is
this
your
souvenir.
This is
at Southdale?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yep. We were probably both at the same one.
Look at you two, star-crossed lovers. Star-crossed. Well, it's been a good season for summer movies for us, Jared, because we are getting lucky by not having to pay for pieces of crap films. Mm. And
well, we anticipate to be pieces of crap. Yes. But there could be some, you never know, some surprises there.
Wait, so you didn't like Super 8?
No, I did like Super 8, but Green Lantern was a bust, obviously, and Transformers with the history that we've had with this film. My guess is that it will be a disaster as well.
I don't understand some of the positive comments I've seen about Green Lantern, to be honest. I've seen some people like, it's great, or, you know, it wasn't so bad, and like, really? Are you guys just...
Ryan Reynolds was dreaming.
Are you being an apologist here? Are you going against the tide? Because, I don't know. There is a trend, definitely, you see on Rotten Tomatoes with films that have terrible scores, where the audience scores are significantly higher. It's
happening with Cars too as well.
It's like the audience is unwilling to rate it poorly, especially if they spend money on it. So
that sounds like you could make a connection to like the Tea Party or something like that.
I'm just saying, you know, Green Lantern is in the 20 somethings on the critic score, and on the viewer score it's up in like the 70s, I think.
I have to tell you one thing, Adam, about Green Lantern. Is that everything being equal, Ryan Reynolds probably was the strongest part of that, one of two strongest parts of that film, the other being, I think, Sinestro was...
Yes, I would say really Mark Strong
character.
Was the strongest part.
But I think that as a...
although they completely butchered, after doing some research on Sinestro, they've pretty much butchered... he did a great job with what he was given, I will say that. But so, the way they wrote him and the way he acted, you know... giving Hal Jordan more opportunity to be a hero than he probably should have been given, that was a problem.
Well, this movie, but I don't want to get into a review of Green Lantern again.
I know, we already did
but
it.
I have to say this.
But it's worth some follow-up, because there's had some time to kind of, you know...
sink in
get some
bit.
More views on the film. And...
Marinade.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, if you take, like, the beginning of the superhero movies, 1989, Batman, and then you maybe, you know, advance... 5 or 6 years, so you start getting movies like The Shadow and The Phantom and stuff like that, where you've got these superhero movies where everything is cut and paste by the numbers. Let's hit on every single cliche that has been done in a superhero movie. And then that kind of killed the genre for a while. So you flash forward to now where you've got movies like Batman that try to change the Batman, Iron Man kind of comes in and they twist the formula a little bit.
Let's not forget, though, that Tim Burton's Batman wasn't necessarily an origin story like they often do with these superheroes. I mean, they did some flashbacks to kind of show where he came from, but he was Batman from the beginning of the film.
Sure, sure.
So that's a different...
It is,
you know,
a different...
And a lot of people... I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the origin stories, but...
I mean, it's a necessary evil, so you have to be able to do it creatively, especially if you're dealing with a character that nobody knows, like Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But... if the origin story and the behavior of the hero is the same as you've seen in countless other superhero films, all you're doing is dooming yourself to a 27 on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever it happens to be, critical response.
It's like, oh, hero is selected for some greater destiny that he's unaware of, but he doesn't think he's worthy, but eventually proves himself worthy. Blah, blah, blah.
And you know what?
There's only like two archetypes out there anyway.
Yeah. Maybe we got to expand the horizons a little bit. The other thing, Adam, if you go see a 3D movie, it really would help if the screen was in focus. Now, I don't know.
It was bad.
I don't know if it was just an issue of where we were sitting. Maybe it was better further back, but I'm telling you, it was hard to stomach at times.
It was there were like the two images on things that were supposed to be front and center were still misaligned.
Yeah,
so everything was blurry.
I mean, it was free jerks.
And as you got further back in the depth, it got worse because you know the convergence was. So
you could
far
actually
off,
so. Take your glasses off during the movie, and it probably for me it hurt my eyes less.
Yeah,
it was very strange.
Made me wish I had some of those 2D glasses that you can buy where it converts the 3D into 2D.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yeah. I didn't know there was such a thing.
There is. They're like $10. They're really cheap.
Maybe we've got to sneak that into Transformers 3. So we've got Transformers 3 coming up this week, and Adam, this is a monumental week for us in the sense that Convergence is back 2011.
Hey, is it sold out?
I don't think it's sold
no,
out.
No, I don't
yet.
Think it is.
Because I might want to go, because what's her name from the Skeptic lady is there.
Well, you better get your $80 check in line.
Oh, jeez.
Because that's how much
it's expensive.
Just pre-register, Adam.
Can't I sneak in like we did that one year?
They have hammered down so much more.
Why are we not getting press badges?
That's a great question.
They've clamped down to the point where people who are just helping at room parties and don't have a weekend badge actually have to have temp badges that are that are only good for that floor that the room party's on.
What the heck?
And they can't get anywhere else.
Sell out.
Right, so,
Adam, we're going to send you an email right after this thing is over. You go online, you register. It's like $30 or $35.
Yeah, I remember it was 20, but
if you don't go, you don't go. But it's, you know, you're doing it a year in advance, and then you can pop in. It's not a big deal.
Oh, for next year.
For next year.
Yes. It's too late to get a good deal for this year.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to...
Too late. Unless you've got some sort of time travel capability.
I probably won't even be friends with you guys next year.
Very likely. You say that every year, though.
Trust me, I will not allow that to happen on my watch, Adam. You will be my friend next year.
I'm just waiting to still actually to be a friend, you know, first time around.
Jared's not even there yet. He's been working for 5 years, and it has been a very poor...
I keep on declining that Facebook request.
That's true. Every time. I'll send it out.
Jared's poking you, and there's no re-poking.
Do anyone poke anymore?
I don't know. Poking is a thing anymore.
Did they take away poking?
Oh God, I hope so.
Let's start poking here. I just remember
when Super Poke was like all the rage.
Close circuit to you, Adam. Did you happen to buy a pair of Levi's jeans from Amazon?
No.
Four
pairs?
No.
Because somebody did.
Nice. I can't believe like you don't get that like you know information on who's doing the ordering.
Why would I need to know specific what people... I mean...
That's true.
That's a little too much privacy.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Amazon, since you brought it up, our listeners have been very, very generous in their shopping habits lately. So
me too.
Continue to do that, folks. You are helping us actually make this worthwhile.
Yeah. Our listeners have helped us purchase swag for Convergence.
Right.
We've got new business cards to pass out, paid for by our listeners and probably by us too, because just last week I bought a new Rock Band guitar, which was $100. So,
oh, well, what do you do? The other thing is like it doesn't work for me since the affiliate account is in my name. I can't do anything. So.
That's all right.
We've done well enough. I don't want to say like we're rolling in riches.
No,
anything,
we're not. But it's enough.
We've done well enough now where I've felt the need to actually create a spreadsheet to track the accounting because I think we're going to exceed the point where I'll have to pay taxes on it. So so I should better keep track of all
Jeez.
That.
Well, I'm just telling you, Adam, that 95% of your take is coming out, and we're putting that towards the business cards. Jared and I are only doing 2.5%.
I don't know what any of that just meant, but good.
We can talk numbers after.
We'll talk numbers. So we've got Convergence coming up. We're going to try to do what we did last year, which was interview using our telephones.
Yes.
Which is, you know, Jared and I were talking about this, Adam. It is so bizarre to think when we first did, first started doing the scope, and it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
But to do something like that where you could go to a convention, because that was something we were going to do. Like we're going to interview at every single convention.
Man, Jess and I didn't pay anything when we were doing those interviews. We were just on the floor.
No, but we were at the first one was MarsCon, which I
at Convergence when we were like around in the pool area.
Okay,
and stuff.
That's true. They did not badge there.
Can we still get in without badging there?
I don't know if you can or not.
Don't count on it.
Okay.
If they're requiring volunteers at room parties to have temp badges, not that they're paying for them, but they are identified as volunteers at room parties. For I think it might even be specific hours of the day. Don't bet on getting anywhere this year.
Just
a word of warning.
We'll scope it out for you. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know. But
so if anyone is planning to ghost any events at Convergence...
what does that mean?
That means you get in, try to get in without a badge.
It's also when you jump on top of your moving vehicle and dance on it.
Ghost
riding the whip.
Gotcha.
Just fair warning, there's a good chance you will not get in because they are, it seems like they're going to be extreme badging this year. So.
Extreme badging. That might actually be a new show on the Learning Channel, isn't it? Extreme badging.
And I'm not saying this as an endorsement of the behavior. I'm just putting it out there. If you aren't planning to do that,
don't mention us.
Plan to be disappointed, potentially. I can't guarantee anything.
Like he's looking right at Adam when he says that. But 5 years ago, Adam,
I may do that thing where I parachute into an event with a giant fan on my back, like I did in the 90s.
I can see that. I honestly, can see you bursting through the skylight.
I think superior showmanship will grant you a pass.
I think he comes in with the parachute, maybe dressed as some sort of obscure...
Egon. It's always Egon.
Egon from Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters.
No, the new or the real Ghostbusters. Right.
Now there you go.
Cartoon version.
You go cartoon version with a parachute and some sort of fan blowing you in. And maybe a hyper-realistic proton pack. Mm. Or maybe even like a steampunk proton pack to really mix things
that would
up. Because it does fit into the theme.
Adherence to the theme would get you extra points.
Yes.
I would say he's in. Well. I would say there'd be no payment. Just come on in.
Again, we're not affiliated with Convergence. We cannot guarantee your entry, but
Shane,
I say give
Shane
it a
from
shot.
The Scope Show give scoped shots. This out, and he said I could come in.
As they say in Jurassic Park, spare no expense.
Yes. I think if we had like an expert artist on staff, somebody needs to draw this. Luke Ski, listen to me. You need to draw Adam parachuting into Convergence, dressed as Egon from Ghostbusters, with a steampunk proton pack.
That is your assignment.
Parachuting with one of those fans, you know?
Direct line to
like
fan man. Luke Ski.
Like fan man.
Also known as Adam Sitnik.
Wow.
I think we've got that. It. Luke Ski, get to it. So, yeah, we'll be doing that. We'll be doing interviews. And the fact that what I'm holding in my hand is, you know, the size of maybe 6 credit cards thick and 2 credit cards long.
Your
or
penis.
Credit card
it's
long.
Weird.
It is my penis.
It's now, weird. Will those be American Express black cards?
Of course
Shane?
They are.
Okay.
I mean, because I spare no expense. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I remember
look at
that.
Look at Shane's stack of Apple products here.
We got an iPod Touch. We've got it all. We're going to actually build a house of cards out of iPads.
How many devices do you have, Adam? Jesus.
I only have two.
Adam's
why
got
do you
two
have two?
Well, because I didn't want to leave my iPod in my car in this neighborhood.
It's very seedy.
Right.
You remember the first time that we set up a recording studio at Convergence and Jared's head almost exploded? I mean, we had buzzing. We must have had 80 feet worth of wires.
Well, we've done a couple approaches. We did when we first did the interviews at Convergence. We had the roving, you know, microphone with the
we had video cameras.
With the hoopty mic flag on it.
we had a mic flag. That's right.
I did jerry rig it into the camcorder for recording audio just because I knew it would be better quality and I didn't have any sort of digital portable recorder. Now there is a set. Yeah, and then we did my portable multi-track setup, which was stationary.
Yeah,
and we did. A show there we did the show we tried to set up in the courtyard and we couldn't get clean power, so we moved it up to the hotel room, and
by the time that started it was like 4 a.m and everyone was angry and way drunk, and
there's a really good picture of me just staring at Earl just like I just hate him.
And now we're just doing it on the phone. Now there is a trade off in audio quality because obviously the microphones on the phones are not as good as a real professional.
But it sounds like
microphone.
It's a via satellite interview.
Yeah. I gotta say, I do like the idea of like, you know, an old timey mic, something you'd see out of like the Will Ferrell news movie. What's that called? Anchorman.
Newsman.
And you know, maybe some sort of a fancy jacket. You know, I do have a white jacket, Jared, that we wore at that party. Maybe I could bring that and put a Scope logo on it, and we could go around and interview people.
There probably is a way to connect a better quality microphone to either of our phones, mine being Android.
You know, if we could get, like, the microphone from Price is Right, you know, the long one, we go around and interview people, maybe they think they'll play, like, Plinko or something like
that.
Wow.
That seems like a lot of work. I think we've kind of taken the lazy man's approach to assembling a show, because we actually, you know, Convergence is supposed to be fun for us, and so I think, you know, we've kind of landed on a process and a format that works for us, and that is the twofold approach of calling into the voicemail line if something happens, and obviously we will encourage all of our listeners attending Convergence to call in the 612-21 Scope line. Put that in your phone now.
And
right
he's just
now.
Looking at me to fact, do that because
I'm gonna,
nobody
I'm gonna,
else dials
we're gonna
in.
Pause. We're going to pause for 30 seconds so that you can store 612-21 Scope I have that breakdown. 612-217-2673. Put that in your phone right now.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
You can actually just pause the podcast so we don't have to wait 30
seconds.
How that works?
Technology, Jared.
All right, so pause the podcast, put that in your phone now. All right, did you do it? Okay, good.
Good.
Hey, so now, you, that one guy that didn't do it.
When something exciting and notable, this is a very important distinction, when something notable happens, call that voicemail line. If you're just calling in and reenacting an old-timey comedy bit, whatever, what was the heck of that?
Look, sorry, Jared, I thought it was funny.
Who's on first? Abbott and Costello?
No, I'm thinking of the dirty one that all comedians have their version of. I can blank it on the name. Anyway, you know who you are.
The Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats.
That's not going to make it in the show.
No.
If you're just, talking about what you had for breakfast and what your plan you're going to next, that's probably not going to make it in the show.
Unless it is bookmarked by vomiting.
Well, if you start out with that and then somehow you're tackled and end up in a gang fight or something, mm-hmm. and you catch all the audio
or vomit,
we'll probably make some of that.
I'm really stuck on I want vomiting on the scope.
Vomiting.
Did you get in a fight with sailors or whatever those guys were that Earl made friends with?
We're looking for notability. It's something that works in the audio format.
Would a sailor fight make the show?
If you're very good at describing it and can maybe capture audio of some blows being landed, then that'd be great.
Let me ask
blows
you this.
With semen.
Are costumes going to be popular this year?
I don't know. I was just thinking about this. I at our birthday party, which you were not invited to. I'm sorry. We invited everybody but Adam.
Oh snap! You did invite everyone.
I'm sorry. I was.
Tired. Everyone was there.
You've come to one of my birthday parties. So.
I've come to two.
Two. That's it. Yeah. And actually, one of them wasn't a birthday party.
It's true.
I broke out my new novelty hat.
Okay.
Which was a chef's hat, an old-timey chef's hat.
All right.
So maybe if I wore my chef's hat with the white jacket, Jared.
You'd look like a chef.
I would look like someone who probably should be in the kitchens in the back.
Executive chef, yeah.
I was going to ask because do you think a Ryan Dunn outfit is too soon?
It probably is too.
All right.
Jared, can you...
I don't know that this is a crowd who would know who Ryan Dunn is.
What if it said Ryan Dunn from Jackass, the guy who died?
Maybe if it said...
I like that in the t-shirt. I am Ryan Dunn, the guy from Jackass who died.
Or it just says Ryan is Dunn.
Oh,
there you go.
That's like a pun, though.
I think
that, you hate puns.
That might be
someone else could do it.
maybe that's a threadless T-shirt idea. Ryan is
poor
done.
Poor taste. Poor
good.
Taste. Adam likes it.
I am still trying to work on a costume for myself. So, well, I haven't done a new costume in ages, and this is hopefully a pretty easy costume, but is comfortable to wear around and easy to get out of should the need arise.
He means a Hanes underwear model is what he will be going as this year.
Yes.
So t-shirt maybe optional.
I will be going as Michael Jordan. I will have the Hitler stash
and blackface. He's going to have the best blackface with the Hitler mustache. That's a costume.
I will be going out into the driveway and drilling my basketball skills I'm going for authenticity.
Everyone that comes as Charlie Sheen, because I bet there will be lots of people that come as Charlie Sheen, you can get them involved in when you drive in your Corvette when you drive away.
And I'm also planning on purchasing a controlling interest in the Washington Wizards.
I like that. is that the most offensive costume possible?
And I don't know. We came up with it really quick, so I have to think not. Like that was like too fast.
Could add to that, like a third element?
Goodness.
I don't know. I mean, then if you add another element, then it's not really Michael Jordan anymore. But
right.
Yeah.
It's gotta be something.
I don't know.
Think about it.
All right.
Write that most offensive costume ever.
Okay.
So there we go, guys. We've covered a lot of stuff. This has been a
monumental opening segment.
It really has been. We've covered a lot. I think it might be our funniest opening segment in 42 episodes. If you go back to episode 69, where we really brought...
Oh, 69. Well, that's fine. The number kind of prompts a certain number of jokes.
That's crazy that I even did that math and made it work out. But a great opening segment. Doesn't mean we don't have a good show coming up for you.
I think we just wrap it up here and just go home.
Done. We're done. Adam is done.
It doesn't work like that.
Damn it! Maybe Michael Jordan wears the Adam or Ryan is done T-shirt in blackface.
There's your extra level of offensiveness.
Got it. Yep. I like that. So what's coming?
By the way, I want that. That's another artwork project for the Great Luke Ski. I want to see Michael Jordan wearing a Ryan Dunn T-shirt
with an emphasis on Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
But if you can draw it as a white guy going in blackface with a Hitler mustache wearing a Ryan is done
Jared
T-shirt
as
no,
Jared.
Not me.
Yes,
not me. Just
Luke Ski can draw Jared. I've seen that.
someone else. I don't want to be the subject. I would never do such thing.
If Adam wore that costume, what he could do is just, he's got a full beard and mustache right now. He could just trim out.
That's what I do every time I shave my...
Just like, you always, he always shaves to a Hitler mustache.
I want to see Adam do an inverse Hitler. I mean, he's got the full beard. If he just shaved out just a little bit above the lip.
All right.
That'd be, you know...
Is that a costume?
I don't know.
No, that's a that's just, a punchline is what that is.
That's just something you put on Facebook.
That's a profile picture, brother. Episode 111. What's on the show? We've got...
I don't even know.
In episode 103, we did a little bit obscure and forgotten pop culture gems.
How many episodes ago was that, Shane?
That was... let's start crunching some numbers. We are 111 right now. That was episode 103.
Yep.
So you're going to have to subtract.
Yep.
Am I carrying anything?
Probably just a little extra weight, but that's because...
I am, actually. I think that...
All right, we'll be back right after this.
I think that was 8 episodes ago. And it ended up being a really a march down into the memory lane of our favorite cartoons.
Yep.
We are going to... Uh-oh, joke's on you, Adam. iPad is locked. Now, don't... Look at that.
You know, I read this week that for a better security code, you should use one digit twice because it actually makes the number combinations harder to guess if you're just looking at smudges on the screen.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yes, because you don't know where in that digit is being reused. If you use 4, there's only so many combinations of those 4 numbers.
Jared.
Anyway,
very smart.
9,999.
So when we did that episode, we had more content that we could actually feature on the show. So we're going to revisit that.
I think we had more content than was actually recorded.
Well, I mean, that's just picking nits, isn't it? So we're going to do that. Jared and I are also going to take a look back at the brand new TV show, Game of Thrones, HBO exclusive. It's over for the year.
Yeah.
And we're going to review the season. Adam has not seen it, so we're going to do
a lot of sports involved with HBO original programming now, so that's
yes.
cool.
So this is something new. I'm very excited about that. Adam also will be partaking in his usual Under the Scope activities, which means news. It means coming soon. It is going to be a blockbuster show, guys. So please start your caricatures now while you're listening to the show, and we'll be back right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is two pebbles and a twig. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
We're rocking here with the Scope. Your Scope programming marches on with a lot of good stuff, Jared.
Yes.
Who are you convincing?
He's always needs convincing. Look at it. Adam is doing some sort of stacking of Apple products. My phone balanced precariously.
Do you have AppleCare?
I don't. Well, I'm on the...
What's it called when you do that thing where you... planking. I was planking your...
He actually planked my iPod. Or my iPad and my iPhone.
I'm not sure that devices can plank. I don't know if that's...
If babies can plank, then devices can plank.
You're saying that babies are devices.
Yes.
Forgotten, Forgotten pop culture gems are back, folks. I'm going to read the text I read 8 episodes ago.
Do it!
We here at The Scope have spent many hours talking about pop culture. That's news to me.
It's sort of part of the show, yeah.
From Oprah to Lost to the Transformers.
I've scoped some pop culture once or twice.
We've covered it all. But what about the lesser-known pop culture gems, boys? What long-forgotten cultural touchstones need the Scope touch? Because I can't say touch in a sentence any more than I did right then. Well, we've constructed a list of movies, music, and TV shows. And by movies, music, and TV shows, I mean TV shows that are also cartoons.
For the benefit of the segment in future shows, it could include any of those mentioned properties.
We're going to do that next episode. You've never heard of these, or you just can't remember them. So it's time for us to share these shows with you. We've got 3 more grand selections from just a litany of items we could have selected. Gentlemen,
yes,
who would like to start this out? And I do not want to. So one of you two can go.
I'll start.
Adam is going to start.
Jared, do you want to start? I mean, I'll...
Go ahead, Adam. I'm not going to stand in your way. I know you like to be the first.
We should have covered that in show prep, but go figure.
I usually like to be second, actually.
We usually don't pick who goes. You just kind of randomly choose.
Yeah,
I don't know, you get some sort of random number generator in
your head. In my head.
All right, guys, scope this.
A lot of scope puns today. I'm surprised you didn't do this 5 years ago when we first started doing this.
I may have. I don't remember yesterday.
Okay. Bring some energy, brother.
the show that that I decided to pull back through time and rediscover is Captain N, the Game Master.
Rediscover what? Go ahead.
I rescoped it?
He rescoped it. Scoped again.
So, first off, did the two of you watch this show?
I never watched it.
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, I know what it is.
You know of it?
At that point, when this show came out, I was starting to get past the time
where
I was
too
watching
cool.
cartoons.
I was already scoring with chicks by then.
Yeah. Well. Jared was banging like crazy.
Right.
Right.
So, here's the history real quickly. I didn't know this. The character Captain N first appeared in Nintendo Power and was created by a staff member and the magazine's editor. By the time Nintendo decided to turn it into a cartoon, they they opted to not credit either of the creators, and they didn't credit them or compensate them for it. And of course, cartoon producer extraordinaire Deke was named the animation studio. Deke. So the premise of this show is, and we'll kind of hear it in the clip here. We're going to listen to in a second, but. The very first episode, and then the intro of every episode thereafter, shows Kevin Keen, a teenager from L.A., and his dog Duke.
Always L.A. with these guys.
And they're taken to another universe known as Video Land when they are sucked into a vortex called the Ultimate Warp Zone.
Sounds very
scary. It sounds very similar in some respects to the show I'm going to do.
We've got a lot of overlapping themes here today.
So let's go ahead. So the clip we're going to listen to, it's the very first episode. Kevin and Duke have just been taken through this warp zone, and this is what they see.
How do we get here? Simon Belmont? Kid Icarus? Mega Man?
And you must be Captain N.
That's Simon Belmont, by the way.
You guys aren't real. You're just so many computer bytes in my game cartridges. Wow, they're real.
Looks like the ultimate warp brought us the ultimate whim.
I'm Princess Lana.
The ultimate whim.
I'm in love.
He's in love.
I'm Kevin. Where am I?
Well, you're in Video Land. The Ultimate Warp Zone brought you here.
You mean like Warp Zone 4 in Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah. It's pretty much just like that.
Wow.
But it's the ultimate one.
Everyone seemed very surprised and shocked with every line.
Where am I?
You're in the Warp Zone.
And then he got a boner.
Video Land. And then he banged her. Then it turned into a hardcore animated pornography.
That's the only reason I liked it. So it's funny if you watch so there's no live action. Sometimes people confuse this with the Super Mario Brothers.
Does Captain Lou Albano with the rubber bands in his mustache show up?
So that was a different show.
Okay.
And that show did have cartoons on it also, but it was a Mario Brothers cartoon. And then on Fridays, there was also a Zelda or Link and Zelda cartoon. But this is different.
Different show.
Right. So the only live action is in the very beginning of the first episode or in the intro credits where they show Kevin being sucked into the TV through the warp zone. And he's using an NES Advantage.
It's a great joystick, isn't it?
I had one.
It had Turbo on it.
Oh, it did.
You can't get that on controllers anymore.
The rub on that controller, if you recall, is that you had to plug it into both 1 and 2, so you could not have two people using it, which I don't understand.
To get the power.
Power.
Was that it? Maybe.
Okay.
It had LEDs on the turbos, I remember. Mm-hmm. So maybe like, you know.
I thought maybe that it was just like so expensive they figured you'd never buy two.
No, you can't do
that. So you're just going to have to switch off. I had a switch for 1 and 2 on it, but.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Anyway.
Sorry, didn't mean to hijack.
No, it's fine. So you met some of the good guys there on, when he was landing through the zone. Simon Belmont from Castlevania. Pitt. Who's the actual name of Kid Icarus?
Mm-hmm.
Mega Man, who, oddly enough...
Did he look like Mega Man?
He's a short, old man, is what he kind of looks
not
like.
Not so mega.
And he occasionally begins words with the prefix mega.
Maybe he's Mega Man.
In fact, in the intro, if you ever watch it, like as he swings by the screen, like on a skateboard or something, he goes, mega high! Like, it's like he adds mega to the word high.
That was his bit, huh?
It's sort of like strawberry shortcake replacing words with berry.
Yeah. Yes.
Or the Smurfs, you know.
Yeah. So, Kevin, he
yes, I've just admitted I've watched more Strawberry Shortcake than I have Captain
N. It's amazing how Jared goes right to Strawberry Shortcake. That's his.
Smurfs
that's
was
his
the more obvious
up.
One.
So the Purple Pie Man, perhaps.
Kevin's powers include he has an NES zapper that he can shoot
like
people
gun.
With.
Right, the gun. Duck Hunt
exactly.
gun.
Exactly. And his belt buckle is a Nintendo controller, an original Nintendo controller.
Okay, so he is fully loaded.
And he can use that to pause time by pressing the start button, I assume. He can use it to jump super high by pressing up.
Okay.
And stuff like that. That
makes sense.
Did you know the NES Advantage also had a pseudo slow motion feature? I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah,
one.
It would just hit. It would just alternate.
Yeah, it would just keep hitting the start button over and over again. There's no information on why it needed to plug into both things, if it was a power thing or not. It's just. Whatever.
As a quick tangent, you guys remember the NES controller that came out after the Advantage that was, you know, just a regular controller, but it was round?
Yeah, the NES Max.
Max. So
yeah,
that
it had,
was kind
like,
of,
had like that disc controller.
Yeah, the disc, which was terrible.
It was good for one game and one game only, track and field.
It was good.
Track and field had like that, like the discus. You had to like move your controller in a circle.
It worked pretty well with the hockey game too.
Okay.
I think.
But like the puck thing would kind of stick wherever you left it. It wouldn't return to center.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, it was terrible for like platforming type games.
Yep.
Didn't work. Okay, just making sure
so
you guys
bad
are with
guys.
Me.
Talk about the bad guys.
Please.
In a weird twist, the main bad guy is Mother Brain, and I just think that's weird because it's like I realize Metroid was popular and stuff, but it's weird. I don't know. Like, is she a memorable character from Metroid? She didn't talk or anything.
No, it was just a brain.
Yeah. So she's not just a brain. She is clearly a black lady doing the voice. Or
does she have a Hitler
guy.
Mustache?
She may have shaved it off just for the show.
Okay.
Wikipedia describes her as a trash-talking, abusive, power-hungry brain in a giant bottle.
So it's played by Precious's mom?
Yeah.
Wow.
Monster Neek?
Also,
it's gonna be tight, y'all.
That's too loud. That's way too loud.
Monster Neek has a very high voice.
Other bad guys include King Hippo.
Okay, I nearly went to the only black sound effect I had.
What a racist!
Awesome.
I know.
So King Hippo from Punch Out.
Punch Out. Sure.
Eggplant Wizard from Kid Icarus.
Sure. A lot of Kid Icarus. I mean, you know the unsung hero of the Nintendo.
Well, he was a Nintendo first party character. Yeah. So Dr. Wily
never
from
to be
Mega
exploited
Man.
Again.
And Ganon was there for a little while, but then as soon as the Super Mario Brothers Super Show started, he didn't appear anymore.
Okay.
This is just an interesting thing that I found. When the show went to syndication, they, of course, had to make changes like for music and stuff like that. So I just like the way that this is worded. Original airings of the first season's show typically featured current popular music of the day, such as Bob Seger's Shakedown and Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Nothing. Kids were all over Kenny Loggins. They loved it. They loved playing with the boys, you know, the Top Gun volleyball scene. It was great stuff.
Another kind of similarity to the show I'm going to talk about. So,
so anyway, when you know when it went into syndication,
a lot of Caddyshack
replaced with
from 1980.
Yeah, Benny Hill, the Benny Hill song.
Yeah, they Benny Hill was brought into it.
Finally, some example plots that they're just so typical, you know, cartoon tropes.
Yep. tropes.
The end team discovers a magic lamp, so Kid Icarus wishes himself to become bigger, and everything goes horribly wrong.
And by bigger, we are talking genitalia.
I assume.
Okay, of course.
Episode 4, Video Olympics. Mother Brain proposes a challenge, Video Olympics on Mount Icarus, with her League of Darkness competing against the end team. Winner takes throne of Video Land. I mean, why would you not trust her to hold
up
her end
of the bargain?
I mean,
that sounds like a really good event for everyone involved.
Episode 8.
Of course.
Mr. and Mrs. Mother Brain, due to a curse from one of the arrows used by Kid Icarus, Simon Belmont falls in love with Mother Brain.
Oh my goodness. And hilarity ensues.
And if that wasn't bad enough, two episodes later, Simon the Ape Man. Simon suffers a blow to the head and thinks he's Donkey Kong Jr.
Is Donkey Kong making appearances in the show?
Donkey Kong is in... He's not a good guy or a bad guy. He just controls Congo Land and just hates anyone that shows up.
And he throws barrels at people.
Right. Yeah. Then finally, Germ Wars. Captain N contracts a video virus for which he has no immunity, so the N team shrinks themselves down and goes into Kevin's body to battle the virus. He had AIDS.
Oh, I thought he had weird weird sort of lesions on his zapper.
Yeah, AIDS.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jared.
Rim shot for the zapper
Jared's
joke.
Fast on the sound effects. Are you done talking about it?
That is the show.
Let me use my interviewing skills and ask you.
Go for it.
I'm getting ready for Convergence, so I've got to ask a lot of questions. Number one, are you surprised that even in this, when did this come out, by the way?
89.
So we're on the cusp of, you know.
89 to 90 is how long it lasted. That was three seasons somehow.
Interesting that you have a mix of characters from both Nintendo first-party games and Capcom.
And there was one more. I'm forgetting.
What does your research say about that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked, sir. <It's> like... So when season three hit, they cut the budget back immensely. And that clip
we were listening to, was that season three?
No, that's season one.
Oh, that's season one. What was it? Stick figures and
so at that time, Legos? NBC, which is what this show was on, they were beginning to cut back on their Saturday morning cartoons. So they cut most of the budget, and they got rid of, in season three, the other non-Nintendo first-party characters. So Mega Man was gone. Belmont is Konami. Castlevania was Konami. So they got rid of both of those guys. And they started doing weird things. Like, instead of them being video game references to things, they just became, like, there's like a Robin Hood episode and weird stuff like that. So yeah, when money became an issue more, so I guess they decided.
And
to
that's when like Kenny Loggins, Caddyshack.
No,
came
those
in.
Were in the first season, but they cut them out.
Bee Gees, kids loved the Bee Gees back then. Jared,
I'm sure they got paid to play the song.
It's so weird though, like the Danger Zone in '89. Like,
I mean, Top Gun was like '86, right? So
yeah, popular songs of today.
Yeah, kids are loving it. Other questions available on DVD right now? Can you get this? What terrible research. It is actually available on DVD. Right. I can tell you that.
Thank you.
I think Shout Factory. Because I want to test you.
What about Blu-ray, Shane?
Not Blu-ray.
No. I'm sure it probably does not exist in any high-def format. So there's no way. There's nothing. No. There's no source material from which to source a Blu-ray. No.
So let me ask you guys this just as a kind of a tangent. Do you remember like right around this time, there was a few TV shows that were like video game, like live action, where they would have kids playing video games on TV for prizes and stuff like that. I think like Game Pro may even had a show too.
Yeah. Then they had like Saturday Supercade or something like that.
We talked actually last episode that J.D. Roth hosted the Game Pro show.
So isn't that crazy that you're watching like 5-year-olds not being able to play games?
Right.
I mean, that's your entertainment. If you couldn't afford a Nintendo, you're going to watch some kid constantly jump into the wrong pipe in Super Mario Brothers over and over again.
Yep.
It was just like watching The Wizard.
Except worse.
It's weird that this show and The Wizard were both basically commercials for Nickelodeon products, but like...
You mean Nintendo products.
Or, sorry, Nintendo products.
You're really stuck on Nickelodeon.
And I never, I get it as a kid, you don't have critical thinking skills or whatever, but it was just weird, like, that no one called them on that or anything. I mean, I guess it's the same thing with any cartoon. They're just there to sell action figures and stuff.
And now and nowadays there are networks like Hasbro has a cartoon network, where they're pimping Transformers and G.I. Joe, and they're going to be doing a Gem TV,
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
Which,
it's all there.
Which is being, I love the videos where they cut the My Little Pony footage to like a hardcore rap song.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you, Adam. That was a great thing to pick. Nintendo Master or whatever the hell it was. I don't know.
Captain N.
Jared.
Nintendo Master
in Video Land.
By the way, there was an Acclaim only rip-off where it was just Acclaim characters.
Acclaim, a huge video game powerhouse.
Well, I mean, they were for a while there. They bought up all kinds of licenses.
They had WWF, I think.
Yeah, they had.
So who was on their show?
But it was like no one I'd ever heard of. It was like the guy from Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy
and when I played him, all he did was run around his underwear because I lost my armor.
Exactly. They had a game called SWAT, and it was like
the
big black guy from SWAT.
Did he have a Hitler mustache?
Everyone in video games had Hitler mustaches if they had a mustache, because you couldn't see more than 2 pixels.
So was it a white guy dressed as a black guy, or was it an actual black guy?
No, it was a real black guy.
It's really hard to render the blackface makeup at the right.
Could you imagine trying to do that in pixels? Jared as...
No! John G. Why is it always me?
Michael Jordan. I'd like to see an 8-bit pixel.
8-bit Jared.
Okay, well, for all of our programming friends out there, you have a job. You could do it. Didn't Michael Jordan have a video game?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, there was a Space Jam.
Yeah, at the very least, there was a Space Jam.
Let's put Jared in Space Jam. Get to it.
Wow.
That's for our Scope listeners. And while we're thinking about that, Jared, why don't you present your program? Since it sounds like it's got an analogous... I'm spilling stuff here.
Well, Shane, mine was also a Saturday morning cartoon.
Was it?
It was created by Deke Entertainment. It was on NBC.
Wow. Everything is the same. It
featured popular music. Of course, I'm talking about the show Kid Video. That's Kid with 2 Ds, Shane. Mm-hmm. Don't be confused. Don't look for imposters.
Double Ds. Yeah.
Double D. Kid Double D Video.
Hi-yo.
Let's see. It was produced by Deke Entertainment in association with Saban. You may know Saban better as the Power Rangers people, but they also did all kinds of kids' entertainment. Its original run was on NBC from 1984 to 1985, but it
Jews,
continued.
By the way.
Yes,
Saban.
Very much so.
We're hitting on all cylinders, aren't we?
But it continued to rerun on the network until 1987 when CBS picked it up. All right. So I'm going to play the opening clip the back because it kind of gives you the premise of the entire show.
Mm-hmm. Right, is it recording this time, Jared?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Everything's good.
We're solid.
All right.
Here we go. Makes me want to do this.
This is a good song. This sounds like the song that Goonies opens to.
Yeah.
Like just the instrumental of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah.
Adam loves it.
I talked about the show at one point somewhere, and somebody sent me all of the albums.
Wasn't it Luke Ski that sent it to you?
Maybe.
Because I have it.
Yes. So this is the band is driving around, assembling for practice.
Live action?
Live action, yes.
And then...
Trouble. There's trouble.
I'm taking you to the flip side.
not the Mega War.
No. What's that guy's name? Master Blaster.
We look like cartoons.
So are they cartoons now?
They are cartoons now.
Musical slaves. Forever.
That's Glitter the Fairy.
Orko. Orko made it in. Lightsaber.
What's going on here?
I'll explain later. Let's go!
This is the intro?
Yeah. They tell you the entire show or the intro every time. Let's do it again.
Now we're back from commercial. Yeah.
I just like to leave that stinger in because they always did that on shows.
Hey, Jared, I have a request. Yeah. Can we get that stinger for our show?
Just that little bit?
I just want that part somewhere because I think that
I want that whole song for our show.
Could you make a note of that? That needs to be on our show. I don't know where. There we go.
Okay, we could.
Thank you.
The hi-hat part.
Especially
that.
Jared taking notes right there. I mean, this is the kind of show we run, Adam. We will do production notes. Right during a bit. It doesn't matter.
I've been on like 100 of these episodes. Yeah. You know, you don't need to tell me.
Jared takes it all out in post. None of this will ever going to make the show.
Let's see here. Look
at all right. Okay, Jared. No.
So the title sequence, basically explains the plot. It's helpful if you can see it, but in audio
theater of the mind,
in audio format, you get a little bit of it. Kid Video and his band of the same name, played by a live-action performance in the first half of the title sequence. They're kidnapped by a villain named Master Blaster and transported to Master Blaster's home dimension, a cartoon world called The Flipside. They're rescued by a fairy named Glitter and subsequently spent each episode of the series either helping to free the denizens of The Flipside from Master Blaster's rule or trying to find their way back to the real world. Master Blaster, who seemed to be a cartoonization...
Is that a word?
Cartoonization, yeah. I guess, of a corrupt rock manager or music executive, flew around the sky in his floating castle, which resembled a giant jukebox. So he's your stereotypical...
Jared looked at me. Straightened his papers.
So the show was dominated by MTV-styled music video theme. Yeah. Each video featured at least one action sequence set to a popular song, and the heroes would often distract their enemies by showing current music videos.
Probably like Danger Zone, and then they playing with the boys.
Yeah. And then they would sneak off while the videos were entranced. Seriously? Yeah. I sort of remember this. He's like, oh, it's a music video.
Hey, look, it's Hungry Like the Wolf. That's what it is. Yep. Hey, that came out in 1984. What's going on here? The kids are loving this.
Not on the flip side. On the flip side, it's brand new.
It is.
Captain and Tennille. I mean, why are you playing that on Saturday mornings?
Shane, each episode also ended with a live-action music video by Kid Video and his band.
Yeah. That's the meat.
Yep.
That's what you really were there for.
Other pop culture events featured heavily in the show as well. The characters often breakdanced to relax, mm-hmm. rode on skateboards, mm-hmm.
contracted
to relax,
AIDS, and dealt with Iran-Contra.
One episode was devoted entirely to video games.
Ooh. Did Captain Planet or Captain Nintendo show up there?
I don't think so. No,
it's
no
Captain
tie-in.
N, goddammit.
Captain N.
The visuals...
Shane's mega lame.
The visual style of the cartoon itself was heavily influenced by the more surreal videos showing on MTV and album artwork of the era by artists like Roger Dean.
Nice.
So the band was created specifically for the show, Shane,
mm-hmm.
and Adam.
Adam always has afterthought in the show.
They performed their own songs and they provided the voices for their cartoon counterparts. At the end of some episodes, the live-action band would be shown once again performing a music video, such as a little TLC. I don't have that. I should play a clip of that. but I don't have it anywhere.
Son of a gun.
Interesting trivia here.
Please.
The music videos produced by Kid Video became very popular in Israel.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
It's because of the Saban guys.
And is it? The Jew connection.
Probably.
Probably.
Those guys are like huge Jews.
So they,
they
guess...
are bigger than the average Jew.
Wow. Yeah. They are 200% Jewish. This is very odd. Yeah. Very hard to do. They're like heavy Jews.
Yeah. It's almost like they're going back. No, they're like Italian.
They have like an extra proton, I guess.
yes. They... their basic structure, atomic structure, is different.
I guess they in Israel, they produced a bunch of merchandise. They had coloring books and chocolate bars with images of the band. Didn't quite take off over here.
The Kid Video chocolate bar industry, not huge. Bar. Not huge.
Shane, you want to know about the characters?
I do.
Okay. But this Kid Video.
Yeah.
I want to know about him too.
I want to know about what ingredients you would find in a Kid Video chocolate bar. Like, what's a, like, would it be like freeze-dried matzo balls in every bite or what?
2 ounces of gravel.
Christian babies.
What? Thank you. Much better, Adam. I'm coming from a place of truthiness on your Jewish
side. I'd probably some hummus too. Anyway.
Nothing better than a good hummus chocolate bar. I mean, man, mouth-watering. Right. Mouth-watering right now.
Characters,
please.
I'm doing this for Adam's benefit.
Stop sidetracking me.
Kid Video, he's a lead singer and guitarist.
And the show
and
named after him.
Namesake, apparently.
Namesake. Yep.
Carla, he's a standard, pin-up white guy.
White kid?
Yep.
Good looking?
I would assume so.
I think he wore a sleeveless vest.
He did have a sleeveless vest. You're right. Did he have suspenders? No. I think the other guy had suspenders.
Yeah, the other guy had suspenders.
Sleeveless vest seems really uncomfortable to me.
It does.
You know, like, they're always going to rub on like the weirdest... Anyway.
Chafing.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for.
You had Carla, the drummer, often exclaims, ay, 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 because she's Latina.
My daughter could translate that.
A bit of a stereotype there. I think you maybe got away with that more in the 80s. You wouldn't get away with it now.
And she did all the cleaning in the tour van.
Yes. Yes.
And the taco making.
And she made tamales.
Nothing.
Tamales.
Nothing. Nothing but churro making.
She usually had, kind of a flash dance styled top with the
sort of Jennifer Beals-ish.
Yeah, there you go. Jennifer Beals. Little off the shoulder action. You had Wiz. He was the nerdy guitar and keyboard player of Kid Video. He also had a pet robot toolbox named Toolbot in the second season. He was.
What's Toolbot's origin story? Do we ever find out?
Well, that was a very dark, very, very dark Kid Video.
I don't remember Toolbot, actually. I'm trying to remember if I watched this past this first season, but. He was nerdy. He had your bowl cut hair, glasses.
Was he Asian?
He was not Asian.
Now, what is his claim to fame, Jared? I might have mentioned this in another show that never made it to air. But...
I forget. He was portrayed by Robbie Rist.
Yes.
And I don't know what his claim to fame was.
Robbie Rist played.
Leonardo in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He played Cousin Oliver.
Oh, that's right.
In the television show
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. AKA Brady Bunch.
Oh, okay. That is a stretch to call that a claim to fame.
That is a claim. He is the one that brought Brady Bunch to its knees.
Adam, how many popular TV shows have you been on?
Counting cable?
Yes.
We'll count cable. We'll
so
be generous.
Let's start. Damages, number one. You were there.
United States of Terra.
He played Terra.
Yes.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
He was on the Stars of Spartacus Blood and Sand.
Yep. And he was on Life According to Jim for 8 seasons.
Amazing.
I still am on that show.
That show's still going.
Or is it syndicated in Israel or what?
The huge Israeli following.
Yes.
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 And who else is on the show, Jared?
We had Ash.
Ash
He's
the
clumsy,
guy.
Also keyboardist of Kid Video. He also plays the bass and the saxophone.
Whoa.
Because in the 80s, you had to have a saxophone
player. Homer Simpson would say, saxophone.
Saxophone. Now, this he was probably your Jew, I would guess. He had the curly hair.
He was like, why hire 3 different people to play these instruments? I can do all of them.
And I can save us money.
Yeah.
He had suspenders, and I think he probably had, blousy pleated white pants, which was sort of a fashion thing in the day.
So he was gay. He was gay.
I don't think
Jewish.
He was gay. I just think he was fashion of the times, as it were.
Yes, he liked flourishes in his.
He can get married in New York now.
Probably had a skinny tie.
I believe he did have a skinny tie, Jared.
How old were
he? Kind of looked like
the
you know
they were in their teens. But skinny ties were a thing.
You know who
man?
He kind of looked like? He looks like Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes. That'd be a good comparison.
I would agree with that. I would agree.
Except
with that.
More hair care products.
Yes. So then you have the fairy who rescues them. Glitter.
That's the gay one.
That is the gay one.
But she's a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies can be gay.
And she's like 4 inches tall.
She's a fairy that befriends Kid Video's band. She saved them from Master Blaster, as seen in the intro. I don't know why I just read that. She had some sneeze, like she could sneeze and like
orgasm and with every sneeze.
It's 1/8. 1/8 of an orgasm is a sneeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she could do it 3/8. That was her special fairy power.
Yes. And then, of course, you had Master Blaster, the primary villain, blah, blah, blah.
Who saved Bartertown?
Master Blaster saved Bartertown. Runs Bartertown. Master Blaster run Bartertown.
You know, I think we did the same joke, and I screwed it up then,
probably,
too.
I remember when I first did this, I actually knew what Clitoris power was, but not forgotten.
Did you say Clitoris power?
Clitoris power. Clitoris power.
He does not know what Clitoris power is. Well, we're going to turn the mics off, and we will tell you later.
Wow, thanks, guys. There were also some minions we will of teach Master you Blaster. The copycats. They were anthropomorphic cats.
That is the show title.
A clitoris with a Hitler mustache might be the best.
Luke Ski, go!
We're going to have like art inspired by episode 111.
I'm thinking like some sort of seashell, you
uh-huh,
know,
uh-huh,
with a Hitler mustache.
Wow.
Slam dunking a basketball. That's what I see.
Okay.
Straighten those papers out, Jared.
I'm just looking for my opportunity to finish
no,
up.
No, we want this bit to be 18 hours long.
Well, it was the first type. The copycats got their name because they always lip-sync their songs, Shane.
Okay, so the implication being that lip-syncing is bad, right? Lip-syncing.
Yeah.
That lip-syncing is bad.
Yes, apparently.
That never caught on with the, you know,
mainstream culture.
I mean, it was
a big fad for a while in the 80s. You had shows like Putting on the Hits and
Putting on.
Did they
the
do
hits?
A lip sync segment on Solid Gold? You remember that show?
No. Oh, do you remember goodness. Lip Service on MTV? It was a show
that was about blowjobs, right?
It was a show about
clitoris power.
Who could lip sync the best?
Starring clitoris power.
It's not about singing; it's about lip syncing and dancing.
I remember that. Yes, it's like they put a whole routine together, maybe look like them.
Yes.
That was a terrible idea, Jared. Why did you think of it?
I don't know. Sorry,
that's the band guy.
When you're spitballing show ideas in those meetings, you just come up with crazy stuff.
Spitballing, lip service, it all comes together.
Clitoris power.
Clitoris, like his voice actually like Peter Brady right there. Clitoris power.
I'm learning stuff.
It's a very eye-opening episode for Jared.
This is a very special scope.
Very, very special
scope. That's all I got about Kid Video.
That's a lot of good stuff.
I'm not sure. Shane, is that available from Shout Factory?
Shout Factory does not have that, and I believe that we talked about this before. I'm sure, you know, people are clamoring for Kid Video. I mean, they want it.
Why wouldn't they?
I mean, everybody wants it. It's very popular in Israel. We know that. But I would guess that the music rights...
The Jews are holding it hostage. Is that what you're telling me?
It's always those darn Jews. But I would guess that music rights for this show would be a bitch. Like, how do you sort all that out?
Well, I'm sure somebody owns the rights.
Well,
don't
it's like Beavis and Butthead. That's why, you know, when they finally came to DVD, it was without any of the actual...
It was without the funny stuff.
Right. Only the diarrhea, cha-cha-cha. I guess that was still funny stuff.
Thank you for reminding me. Okay, well, I will move on to my pick, Jared.
Thank goodness.
Adam.
This show's going to be 3.5 hours.
It's
going
to be a great fucking show. My show is a show called Bionic Six. It was an American/Japanese animated television series. It came out in 1987. Produced by...
Deke?
A bunch of companies that you'd never heard.
Live music.
Live music. Music videos of the time. Very, very good. Its claim to fame, renowned Japanese animation director Osamu Dezaki was involved as chief supervising director.
Osama bin Laden
he was dealing with clitoris power. This guy was known for his distinctive stylings in animated shows like Golgo 13 and Cobra. Cobra featured in a Matthew Sweet video, Girlfriend, by the way. The show had two seasons, started in spring of 87 and ended in November of the same year. They did 65 episodes in that time period. So it literally was wall-to-wall Bionic Six. It burned.
That's impressive.
It burned bright like a supernova, Jared, but then burned out because, for whatever reason, things didn't... They would do like 65 episodes of programming in those days, and then they would just stop them after a year.
Kids are fickle.
They really are.
Well,
so
when it's on 5 days a week, you got to have a lot of episodes.
So let me kind of give you a synopsis of what this is about. In the near future, a Professor Sharp, head of a special projects lab, creates a new form of tech to augment humans through bionics, hence the name Bionic Six.
Playing God. Sounds like he's playing God.
His first subject was Jack Bennett, a test pilot who secretly acted as Sharp's field agent, Bionic One. So they don't. It's a little dicey here, but on a family ski vacation in the Himalayas, because that's where everybody goes to ski in the Himalayas.
Seems safe.
An alien spacecraft triggers an avalanche that buries the entire family,
Dicks.
Exposing them to unusual radiations. Jack frees himself, but discovers his family in a comatose state. So Professor Sharp implements the bionic technology in the others, awakening them. Afterward, the family operates incognito because you can't tell these bionic people running around as a publicly lauded team of adventuring superheroes, the Bionic Six. So, Jared, why don't we play the theme song to Bionic Six? Very peppy, very snappy.
Is this the Electric Six?
Yeah, the Electric Six, gay bar. Play it.
We are a family. I fight for them. They fight for me. As close as we can be. High in the mountains or deep in the sea.
Our Denver, the last dinosaur.
We are so proud to be a super future family.
A family brought together by fate and given superpowers through the miracle of modern science.
So the Bionic Six looks like six people here. Bionic One, Mother One, Sport One.
Imagine that.
Rock One, IQ, and Karate One. And this was an interesting family because they had a multicultural family. They had a black and they had an Asian.
Adopted kids?
No, those kids were natural. We don't know how it happened. The white kids were adopted.
What?
I don't know. It's crazy. It's in the future. Things happen, Adam. The primary antagonist of the series is a mad, crazy scientist.
Everything else that you that either the intro or you have said so far is reasonable, but not the kids' races to me.
Well, I'm going to let you think about that. All Chew right. on that. The mad scientist known as Dr. Scarab, along with this gang of henchmen with names like Glove.
All right.
I mean, you're running out of names in 1987.
G-Love.
Madam O, Chopper, Mechanic, and Clunk. And pretty much... what these guys were obsessed with was obtaining immortality and ruling the world. And Dr. Scarab believes Typical. To do that, you have to have this bionic technology. So the show didn't last long, but there was a pretty big toy line that came out in 1986 by the masters of action figures, LJN.
Weird. Bad video games.
Yes. I mean, they didn't do much in terms of sales. Their claim to fame, if there was anything, is that all the action figures were metal, so they were like die-cast. So you'd lift up a 3-inch action figure and...
Yes,
you could probably kill somebody with it.
Were they opposable and everything?
Yeah, they were like... It was like a G.I. Joe figure,
okay.
But all the parts were cast.
But then you could easily probably like pinch your fingers in all the joints.
Oh, sure, if you wanted to.
Metal.
And I think,
if you wanted to, or didn't want to.
But the bionic parts were plastic. So that was like a, you know... It was really weird. But it didn't sell well, but I still think you can get these online. I'm sure you can.
The toys?
The toys, online. Hmm. The internet is good for that. And not have to pay too much for them. I'm sure Jared is actually surfing the internet right now looking for a Bionic 6.
Probably pick up an NES Advantage controller at the same time.
Probably. This show, by the way, not available on DVD.
What, Shane?
What
are the rights? Where's the holdup?
I don't know where the holdup is at. Okay. But I can tell you that...
Our IP lawyer's working on it.
That a lot of shows that I loved as a kid... coming out on DVD very soon. Like Mask is coming out. There's a bunch of
what about the Centurions?
Centurions not coming out.
Fuck.
But you never know. Bionic 6 could be one of those shows coming to a DVD near you. And then by the time that happens, no one's buying DVDs, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I just wish they would give me some more Jason the Wheeled Warrior.
I know. I hear you, Jared.
I just want that song.
Or
again.
Season 2 of Parker Lewis Can't Lose. God damn it.
We love it.
Bring it.
We love it all. So there you go. Not as funny as your bit, that's for sure. I think we're all tired.
Do you have any episode highlights to give us?
I don't really have any episode highlights, Jared. I can't find them anywhere.
All right.
I can tell you that there was one episode towards the end, which might even been the last one, where it was like this weird meta thing where they were the Bluths
were there.
The Bionic Six were transported into an animated world where they realized that their lives were animated, and they kind of turned into like Disney or Warner Brothers cartoons. So it was this weird, crazy thing that I watched, and I think it ended up being the series finale.
What if the Bluths from Arrested Development were the Bionic Six?
I think that's an interesting premise.
Right?
Well, they, one of their bionic powers could be like dancing like a chicken, right?
Yeah. You know, yep. Not knowing if they're saying beans or beads or bees.
Yeah.
That's a really bad power. I don't know why. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you'd apply it to fighting Dr. Scarab.
Yeah.
But you'd have to do that.
Anyang would be there.
Anyang. So there we go, guys. Forgotten pop culture gems done. I think it was great. We can revisit this bit every 8 episodes, and that's what we intend to do.
I think we should just
do.
Change Holy the show cow. To just be this.
Yeah.
I mean, we really were on fire on this. So let's get out of this, Jared. We've got some music coming up, and then Under the Scope right after that. So stick around, everybody. More Scope coming at you.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Straight from thefump.com, it's the latest song from Money Shot Cosmonauts. Time to coincide with the release of the new Weird Al album. It's I Wish I Could Be Weird Al. Right here.
I wanna be Al Yankovic, so freaking bad, with white and nerdy fans I've never had. Like Oprah, I would start my own Al magazine, with Bundy, Sharpton, Kida, Gore, and Green. Oh, every time I hear a song, my brain regurgitates it wrong. Yeah, so all the words I sing along are abnormal. I'd be every fangirl's pal if I could be Weird Al.
Yeah, I'd be crushing Al a palooza in my Belvedere cruiser, rocking poker medleys of John Philip Sousa.
I'd be an Amish celebrity, losing on Jeopardy, with shirts like Nick Nolte and hair that's Def Leppardy.
I'd pick the grapefruit diet, go on eBay to buy it. I know Jerry Springer, but in France I'm a riot.
I love Rocky Rota, get kinky with Yoda. Got a boogie like the biggest ball of spam in Minnesota.
I make my roaches wear slippers, fall in love with the skipper, or an anorexic codependent bingo addict stripper.
I hear I want a new duck that will teach him to swim. I guess it really must suck to be a rock star like him.
I never think a song is done.
Toast is done, toast is done.
Until you add a cardio.
Cause I perform this way, baby.
I pray for one more naked gun.
No,
till then, I shall sing about my root canal.
Thrill me.
Quickiest, the smirkiest, my turkey next to turkeyest. A bold to Albuquerque songs, I'll write to Albuquerqueist.
I'll kick some pantry ass in this doggy dog business with my billionaire bikini supermodel astrophysicist.
I'm pretty fly for a reverend in bolognophile heaven, making albums in 3D.
Which healed is 27.
I'm buying me a Cuisinart on Craigslist, they're on sale tonight. I'll be the king of waffles, king of suede, and king of cellulite.
I would tell your iguana it smells like Madonna, but right now Nirvana and I just don't wanna.
If money won't buy happiness, I'll just go and rent. So listen up, you weasel stomper.
Stay deep at 10.
I wanna be Al Yankovic, so fetching bad.
Even worse.
I promise I'll be mellow when I'm dead.
Like a car battery.
I wanna do the Today Show on All Al TV.
On UHF.
With Roker and Capone and Ali G.
Hey, Tony, wait, hold up. What up?
They say I'm close, but no cigar.
Pitiful.
To radioactive CNRs.
Chuck Norris revisited.
From a planet near Bruno Mars.
Freddie Mercury.
Chris Dow. And I'd be Harvey the Wonder Hamster's pal if I could be Weird Al.
Stuck in the drive-thru. Whoop and a white dude.
I wanna be Al Yankovic.
Me too.
So stinking bad.
I wish I could be Weird Al too. Wait, I am Weird Al. Cool.
Three geeks on the internet. WSEP.
Under the Scope. Episode 111 of The Scope chugs along with news.
Oh, yeah. This is this is called the poorly engineered episode 111.
I like it. I will not put that in the title of the show as to not scare off any other listeners. So we're already struggling.
My usual fluidity is somehow lacking today.
I don't know what's going on, but it's disturbing.
Whatever. We do it live.
We'll do it live!
Oh. Hi.
This weekend, Cars 2 came out.
Oh, yes.
Plans to see that?
No, actually.
No? Because of the bad reviews or just because not the first one was... Already the worst Pixar movie?
I wasn't excited about it before.
Sure.
I have said a number of times before this program that Cars 2 may be.
Is that Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
You wish he killed himself now?
I don't. Nothing to do with the voice acting. Come on.
I think that's what you're saying.
You know, Jared and I saw Cars in the theater, and I think we were both sort of bored by it.
Yeah.
It was okay.
I didn't hate it, but it wasn't great.
Yeah. Kids loved it, I guess.
Kids love it. It's a merchandising juggernaut.
My nephew could not get enough of that film. But he's older now. Maybe he'll still like Cars 2, but...
There's a whole new generation of little kids now, too, though.
Cars 2. Cars.
How long ago was Cars? Like 5 years ago?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. And Cars is the biggest Pixar merchandising property out of all of them. So,
oh yeah,
by far. So it's been getting a lot of bad reviews. I think it's like a 44 on Metacritic. I don't know what it is on Rotten Tomatoes, but so not good. The initial estimates for how much it would make this weekend were around 50 or 55 million. Then on Friday
night hit,
yeah,
boom.
Friday, including the Thursday midnight openings, made over 25 million.
So it's on track to kick some ass,
yeah,
Jared.
I think they're saying 75 to 85 for the opening week.
Critics be damned.
Yeah.
So I wonder how John Lasseter responds to that. I mean, because he has to know that this is sort of a tired plot. I think. I mean, it just seems like it's forced. It's a forced concept. You know, they say, well, the crowd validates everything that we did.
I think they have to admit internally that this is Disney pushing them to do a film that they can license and make.
I think Lasseter wanted to do this film.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
All right.
Maybe just, you can't have the A-plus movie or the A movie every single time. A movie studio is going to stumble.
Eventually. Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the critical reviews of every Pixar movie, I'm since Toy Story 2, I want to say, like, all of them have been, kind of upper tier reviewed movies other than Cars 1 and 2, I think. Right. Yeah. I can't think of anything else that's...
Yeah, I agree
with
you.
Cars was viewed as a stumble and for them to revisit it again. To me, it's like it's all about that extra merchandising.
Sure.
That's the only reason I can see to make another film like this.
They could have picked any other Pixar property and I would have been much happier with a sequel to that. Which,
Where's my Monsters, Inc.?
It's coming.
Monsters University or something like that.
I really like that prequel movie a lot.
A prequel.
Cool.
Speaking of movies that we all loved, Fast and the Furious 6, scheduled for Memorial Day 2013.
I saw that.
Did you see Fast 5, Adam?
I did not see Fast 5. I'm not a...
Tokyo Drift?
I saw the first, second, and fourth.
I heard Tokyo Drift was actually kind of good.
Okay. I think it's the only one I haven't seen.
Will this one be called Too Fast, Too Furious, Too Many?
Nice.
Going with the Die Harder naming.
Because we need to die just a little harder.
So no title yet, obviously. Vin Diesel, though, is going to be a 2012 Hollywood Walk of Fame inductee, which means a lot. It doesn't mean that you just paid for it.
No, not at all. Not at all. What a joke that is.
Yeah.
The studio says that the crew will be returning after Fast 5 posted the biggest opening weekend in the studio's history. Fast and Furious 6 will contain the most dangerous adventures yet for our high-speed racing heroes.
And they've pretty much rebooted the plot in terms of what it is. It's no longer like guys fighting. It's like a heist.
Yeah.
It's with a rock chasing them.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
All right.
Hey, if people like it, then go for it, I guess. I just don't have to see it.
People like Sarah Palin. Do you want to say go for it to her, too?
Wow. Wow. Already bringing politics into the show.
I'm boxing your corner on that one.
Jared cannot get out.
Wilfred, the new...
Rimley, yes.
What's his name? Wow, why am I blanking on his name? Not Shia LaBeouf.
The other little Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood. Big eyed Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood's new comedy on FX premiered this past Thursday along with Louis.
And did you watch them?
I've watched Louis. Wilfred, I have it recorded. I have not watched it yet.
It's on my TiVo as well.
Okay.
It's the biggest.
I don't have the burden of Chucks like you do.
I've got a lot of burden of Chuck.
It's the highest-rated comedy premiere ever for the network.
Really?
It drew 2.6 million viewers.
Oh, it's a 1.2 rating. 200K. But
reviews were mediocre on
Yeah, mediocre. Though, I think most of the reviewers have the first four episodes, and I think they're saying it gets progressively better.
It gets better.
As Dan Savage say, it gets better.
Yeah. Like being gay in high school, it gets better.
For it what it's worth, the couple reviews I read of, or preview reviews I read of the first four of Louis also said they're just as strong as last season. That's
awesome.
That's the best sitcom. Not even sitcom.
I've only seen a half an episode of that.
That's one of the best shows.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Better than Outsourced.
So that was just the 1849 demo.
Okay.
Including all viewers, it drew 3.8 million. So
that's pretty high for FX. Holy cow.
Louis came in with 1.6 in the demographic, and then
that's not connected to Louis Anderson, is it?
Yep, Louis Anderson and Louis C.K. are in the same show together.
Is Louis on FX as well?
Yeah, there. It was.
They're a block, a comedy block.
Okay, Wilfred Jared. At 9 our time, 10 Eastern, and then Louis right after.
I've watched like four FX shows now. That with those two plus Archer and Justified.
I've never watched a show on FX.
Never would have seen that coming.
It's Always Sunny.
I don't watch
you don't
that.
Watch that? Okay.
I hear it's good, though. From you, mostly.
Yeah. You're the only one that watches it. It's got a rating of 0.00001. Adam.
What does?
Sunny.
It's Always Sunny? That gets really good ratings.
Oh, calm down. Read your
I think
news.
That's on Netflix streaming these days. So I think so. I keep meaning to check that out.
Let's see. More TV talk. How about
let's
that?
Let's do it.
The
TV
Office.
Talk.
I'm all up.
We're not tired of The Office after it's been on for way too many
office.
Seasons.
Wait, James, it sounds like you went to TheHollywoodReporter.com.
James Spader.
I've read all these stories on TheHollywoodReporter.com.
Hey, do you want to do the fucking news?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Bring the hammer down.
You do it much better.
James Spader.
Yes.
Is in talks to join The Office permanently. But.
Yeah, there's a twist, Jared.
Not as the manager of the Dunder Mifflin.
Same character,
office.
Though?
Same character.
Okay.
But instead, he may be taking over as CEO.
I'm going to give you a twist on that. You're wrong, Adam. He will join the cast as the Dunder Mifflin branch.
Yeah, I know, but then
manager,
go.
But then get booted up to the top
because
he's so good. Goodbye, Kathy Bates.
Right. She's too busy working on her bad show.
Yeah. Burke's Law.
Yeah.
Harry's Law.
Harry's Law. Whatever. Burke's Law. Where the hell did that come from?
So, I don't know. I mean, he was
the best boss candidate of any of them on there. So,
yes. Will he work as a recurring character, or was he better off just as that one little cameo? I guess
remains to be seen. And if he takes over as, like, the main guy, he wouldn't be in every episode,
true.
You would think.
He'll show up a couple times
well,
in season.
Well, but the thing I was reading they want his character, if they go that way, to be way more involved than Kathy Bates. Because Kathy Bates, like, she would be on, you know, two or three episodes in a row, and then nothing for 10, and then... So it sounded like they wanted to be more involved. But they start shooting in a month, and they better figure this shit out.
They
have no scripts written, and they have no...
Mindy, come on.
And they have no...
Well, it's all
Mindy
improvised,
Cohen?
Right?
No, Mindy.
I know. Kaling.
But I got to put on her thinking cap, Shane.
Put on the... Remember when her arrow sort of faded?
No, it droops. It loses her power.
The Onion. The Onion has never won a Pulitzer Prize. Which kind of makes sense to some people because it's fake journalism.
It's not real news.
Right, but there is a campaign that has been around for a little while now, and then Tom Hanks got involved last week.
Well, then it happened.
Right.
Then it happened.
Tom Hanks is a weird guy. Like, I like him a lot, but there's just this YouTube video of him, like, from a webcam, and he's like, he's just talking about why the Onion deserves a Pulitzer.
He's like turning into crazy old man. He's not that old yet.
I'm a little worried. He was on, I don't know if you guys watched The Soup yet this week, but he was on some Univision.
He's all over the place, this guy. Like, hosting the news. Yeah. Was he doing it in Spanish?
I don't watch The Soup. I like to start from the beginning, so I'm going to go start at the...
Oh, Talk Soup?
Yeah.
And go
early
from there?
Episodes, yeah.
He starts
I'm
all
a completist.
Way.
Yeah, good luck finding those. I would love to see old
some
old
great
episodes.
Kinnear action.
Yeah. So after Tom Hanks joined in and this campaign started to kind of pick up, Neil Gaiman recorded a video. Ricky Gervais, Dave Barry, who is a Pulitzer winner.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
Paul Reiser. So now you're good.
Dave Barry's the founder of Wendy's,
a
right?
A cat.
Paul Reiser actually got their award revoked after his last show.
A cat and
a cat.
Yeah, and an army of advocates from the Americans for Fairness in Awarding Journalism.
I thought
prizes.
It was actually a cat. They meow playing the piano with the help of its master.
That's Afahajib, by the way, is the name of that Americans.
For Very Fairness. Unfortunate. Very hard to pronounce.
So we'll see how that goes. You guys ever seen Wet Hot American Summer?
I haven't. I would love to see it.
It's a really good movie.
What's that about?
It is it's a spoof movie.
Oh,
some people would call it a satire.
A satire. I like that word.
Of 80s spoof movies. It's written and directed by David Wayne.
80s camp movies. Okay.
And then Michael Showalter. And
if you take Meatballs, for instance.
Okay. Yes.
And then you
Making
do
fun of those movies.
You make fun of Meatballs.
I'm with you.
When the movie came out in 2001, it starred...
10 years ago.
Yeah. July 2001, next month.
Didn't even need to write that down, Jared.
Listen to this You're cast of characters.
Listen to this, Jared. Yes. Stop interrupting
Paul Rudd. Yeah. Elizabeth Banks.
Who's that?
Christopher Maloney. Janine Garofalo. David Hyde Pierce.
Charlton Heston.
Not to mention Michael Showalter. David Wayne.
Damon Wayne.
Amy Poehler. Bradley Cooper.
What's a Bradley Cooper?
Michael Douglas.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire. They pulled him out of the crypt.
The Duke.
I can't remember other...
John Wayne.
Vincent Price.
I'm trying to sing that.
And the original Lassie.
And Vin Diesel.
It only grossed $300,000 in the theaters. But since then,
none of those names are draws.
But since then,
I would say that Vin Diesel and the original Lassie would bring people
into Fred Astaire, definitely.
Fred Astaire, 2001.
People love that Singing in the Rain shit.
Since then, it's become a cult classic. And
says who?
Me. It's been at the Lagoon, the Uptown.
Cult of Adam.
As a midnight movie a bunch of times.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
I never got to see Super. Damn it.
Super 8?
No, the movie Super.
Oh, I did. I did not like that movie at all.
Wow. Okay. Well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
Anyway, all these people, these famous, you know, rich people, they said, we will come back for a sequel if you want to do it, David Wayne. And so David Wayne and Michael Showalter are in talks to do this.
Talks to completely screw it all up.
Probably.
And not capture the magic.
Michael Showalter said, I'm really excited for the idea of a sequel or a prequel or for maybe the first ever movie that is both a prequel and a sequel. David Wayne later pointed out that is Godfather 2.
Think about it.
Jared's so bored, he's on his phone.
I'm looking for Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix, so shut the fuck up.
Okay.
How about some comics to TV news?
Let's do it.
Powers.
Yes.
FX.
Are we at an FX sponsored show today, or what the hell's going on here?
Maybe Fox, but it's FX Studios at the moment. They have a pilot that they're going to film for it.
Okay,
no one knows if it'll get picked up. But Jason Patrick has been signed as the main guy, the lead.
That's
detective.
Not a bad casting decision.
Christian Walker,
Jason Patrick,
yeah,
Lucy,
star of Speed 2. Jason Patrick.
Yes.
By the way, Wet Hot American Summer is available on Netflix Instant. It's adding to my queue.
There you go.
To the top of the queue.
Get that over to our house somehow, and we can watch it together.
Get your NAM account. It's $8 a month. Fuck.
I've got 8 chucks, okay? Back off. 8
that's,
chucks.
That's a dollar for every chuck.
I know. It's a dollar a chuck.
Let's see. Transformers 3. Paramount is making crazy demands on theaters to like increase the brightness of their
The Roger Ebert 3D fiasco has really pushed Michael Bay into the stratosphere, and he wants his film to be shown as the best possible.
Yeah. So these bulbs cost thousands of dollars.
Well, they should have figured this damn technology out before
they
put it into every freaking theater.
The bulbs have always cost a lot of money, and showing them at reduced power doesn't save you much in the lifetime.
And
so
when Jared and I saw Green Lantern, the difference between screen with glasses versus screen without in terms of brightness was dramatic. It was dramatic. It was dark and muddy with glasses. It was fairly light and bright without. And it was, I'm sure that's pretty typical to all 3D movies.
Yeah.
Well, it's polarized lenses.
So supposedly Paramount is...
Thanks,
is,
Egghead.
Paramount is supposedly Egghead. Demanding that they turn the brightness up. They're also requiring theaters to keep keep Transformers 3 in their screens, you know, on the same nice 3D screens for 4 weeks at a time. Which is, I guess, unheard of at the moment for the 3D screenings because They don't want to do that. And I guess that's going
to
mess with.
Hell.
Yeah, well, I know. That's, I guess, going to. Well, I assume
we'll probably be seeing it in 3D on Monday. But
Cars yeah, 2 is probably nice in 3D. All the cartoons are fine in 3D, it seems like. Anyway, but that's going to mess things up for Cars 2, Captain America, and Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter movie, because all of those have 3D, at least, as possibilities.
And I will not see any of those in 3D.
Wow. Have you seen the new Captain America trailer?
I have seen it.
Excellent.
Bring it. Bring it, Adam.
Also, glasses. David Goyer, the producer, who's done like Blade 2 and a bunch of other comic book stuff. Anyway, he's putting together a TV pilot for 100 Bullets on Showtime.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So that seems like
that's one a good fit, isn't
it? Yeah, I think that is a good fit.
Like I said, a good fit. I said it.
Finally, some video game news. Star Wars Galaxies. I know we're all such huge fans of that. Shutting down.
Really?
So the bigger point here is Star Wars Galaxies is still up right now.
Yeah. When did that game come out? Like 2005 or something?
No, I think it was like closer to
that. Never really caught on as a big thing, did it?
No, not at all. Not
is that
at
to
all.
Make way for the New Republic?
Yes. So the shutdown is on December 15th.
The Old Republic.
The Old Republic, yeah.
I like the New Republic.
So December 15th is the day that it will be closed. The producers of the people that are still running it are saying there'll be these galaxy ending in-game events, but it's like, are 1,000 people still playing it? I mean, it's nice for them, but whatever. So now everyone's saying, oh, well, that means that the Old Republic will probably, as rumored, be ready to come out this December. So, cause that's been kind of, they've been thinking it for a little bit here. So we'll see.
I'm sure Galaxies is running on old hardware, and they're not going to repurpose those servers
in the racks.
Right. I think that's just to get
old
iron,
as they say.
Those
got some big iron at the Old Republic.
That's what they do.
Yep. So that's news.
Not one political story in there, Jared.
Everyone already knows that the gays can get married in New York now.
Surprised you didn't go on some sort of Michelle Bachmann tirade
because there's Matt Taibbi.
Yeah, I just read that there's a scandal with that too.
About the article? What?
About the article.
Such as?
He copied stuff from Dump Michelle or Dump Bachman.
Yeah, from City Pages. No, from a City Page guy.
Interesting.
From both. Yeah.
It's not as if the article didn't have a slant to it, but.
Hit piece.
Just saying
that's what they're calling it, a hit piece.
That's fine.
Well, there we go.
Scared the pants
over.
Off of me.
News over.
Yeah.
Next thing, reviews. Right on it, Jared. Since Adam has not...
Whatever. just chalk it up to poor engineering.
Since Adam has not watched Game of Thrones, I did not want to force him to try to write up
in
a
my
review.
Defense, I thought it was called Gay of Thrones, and so I'm not...
Look at this. I mean, this is me editing down. There's so much text here for this, Jared, so I'm going to...
Shocker, the Wikipedia page is long.
Right. No, this is... I wrote stuff in here, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to explain the HBO series Game of Thrones.
Yep.
It's based on author George R.R. Martin's best-selling... A Song of Fire and Ice series of its seven planned fantasy novels.
It's a Song of Ice and Fire.
Song of Ice and Fire, thank you. The first novel, which is called
A Game of Thrones. There's an article at the front, which was left out for some unknown reason by HBO.
Jared, angry. This show is big, complex, and hard to explain, so I'm going to do my best to get the point across. Here we go. So the cable series...
Have you seen Lord of the Rings? That's it. Next.
Much more, I would say it's maybe the TV show is more complicated than the Lord of the Rings movies.
Potentially.
But, the cable television series closely follows the multiple storylines of the A Song of Ice and Fire series. And Martin did say that the show's pilot script was very faithful to his work. So what does that mean exactly? So the fictional, set in the fictional realms of Westeros and Essos. Is that how it's pronounced, Jared? Essos?
It depends on it varies, but it's pretty good though.
Okay, and
since I'm listening to the audiobooks, I adhere to the Roy Dotrice pronunciations of words, and those tend to vary sometimes from the show.
For an amateur, it's fine.
Okay, so it follows three principal storylines divided by geography and participants struggling to claim the Iron Throne and rule all the seven kingdoms of Westeros after the fall of the ruling house Targaryen. The first storyline is set in the actual Seven Kingdoms themselves, chronicling a many-sided struggle for the Iron Throne. The series starts with King Robert recruiting Lord Ed Stark of Winterfell.
He's never called Ed. Never.
Eddard.
Eddard or Ned. Come on.
I'm sorry. Ned. Ned. To become the Hand of the King. These two have a history, and here's a clip of them talking.
Here it is.
Gods, This is country. I've half a mind to leave them all behind and keep going.
That's King Roberts, by the way.
Half a mind to go with you.
There's Ned.
What do you say? Just you and me on the King's Road, swords at our sides, a couple of tavern wenches to warm our beds tonight.
Barely talking into a harbour,
20
too.
Years ago.
There were wars to fight, women to marry. We never had the chance to be young.
I recall a few chances.
There was that one. Oh, what was her name? That common girl of yours. Becca, with the great big tits you could bury your face in.
Bessie. She was one of yours.
Bessie. Thank the gods for Bessie. And her tits. Yours was, Alina? No, you told me once. Meryl? Your bastard's mother.
Wyler.
Do you explain what a hand is in their text?
The hand is like the main assistant, the voice of the king.
He basically does all the dirty work for the king, rules, keeps the king's peace while the king is off hunting or whoring or doing whatever kings are apt to do because they have power.
Now, do you see this lady with the big titties at some point?
You see a lot, and just for the record, you see a lot of titties.
Yeah.
You see a lot of gruesomeness in this show. I mean, it's insane how much you see.
Not as much as Spartacus Blood and Sand.
Oh, there you go.
But, just saying.
And so, like, this first storyline, it really starts with the original Hand of the King dying and then King Robert going to Winterfell and trying to recruit Ned. And so the king's family sort of interacts with the Starks, and a lot of shit goes down and sort of progresses that main storyline, which we won't get into that too much, other than one of Ned's kids is crippled. He was attempted murder on his life. And so
there's a mystery of
why it happened, which is not really a mystery if you're watching the show.
Right. It's a mystery to the characters, not to to the viewers.
So the second storyline is set on the extreme northern border of Westeros. Here, and this is a little bit of exposition, so sorry. Here, many thousands of years ago, a huge wall of ice and gravel was constructed by both magic and labor to defend Westeros from the threat of the Others, a race of now mythical creatures living in the uttermost north. The wall is defended and maintained by the sworn Brotherhood of the Night's Watch, whose duty is to guard the kingdom against the Others. The Others have not been seen in over 8,000 years, and the Night's Watch has devolved into essentially a penal colony. It's badly under strength, manned primarily by criminals and refugees, with only a few knights or men of honor to stiffen them. And they spend most of their time dealing with the human wildlings or free folk who live just beyond the wall. The story is told primarily through the eyes of Jon Snow, the bastard son of Stark, which we heard mentioned in the previous clip, as he rises through the ranks of the Watch, learns the true nature of the threat from the North, and prepares to defend the realm.
He's a bastard. He doesn't get the Stark name.
Even though the people of Westeros are too busy warring to send support. So here's a clip featuring Peter Dinklage as Lord Tyrion. He's at the wall and chatting it up with two big shots in the Night's Watch. Winter is coming.
Big shots.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of like a pun.
How many winters have you seen, Lord Tyrion?
8, no, 9.
All of them brief.
Now they say the winter of my birth was 3 years long, Maester Aemon.
This summer has lasted 9. But reports from the Citadel tell us the days grow shorter. Starks are all right eventually. Winter is coming. This one will be long, and dark things will come with it.
Something to point out is that in the land of Westeros, the seasons last multiple years, and so there's a lot of references to like a lot of the young kids who were born in summer, and the summer has lasted a long time.
Yeah, they've never seen snow.
Yeah, and the Citadel is the place where all the maesters basically do their training and stuff like that. So it's kind of the headquarters of the learned types.
So Lord Tyrion, what's the name of his family?
Lannister.
The Lannister family. That is, Lannister is married to King Robert.
Yep.
And they're very rich and very powerful. And they're
richest of the seven kingdoms, as it were.
And there's a lot of scheming involved in them. So now there's finally a third story, which is set on the huge eastern continent of Essos, across the Narrow Sea, and follows the adventures of, how do you pronounce the queen?
Daenerys.
Daenerys Targaryen, the last scion of House Targaryen and an exile and another claimant to the Iron Throne. Her adventures showcase her growing ability as she rises from a pauper sold into sold into a marriage to a barbarian warlord to a powerful and canny ruler in her own right.
To the Dothraki.
Dothraki. And so this she's got the very important role, and this whole storyline does not intersect hardly at all with the other things that we've talked about.
And it still hasn't. I'm halfway through the second book, and it's a long game with her, so just enjoy it.
So you've got a lot of different warring clans, a lot of different factions, and a lot of stuff happens in, how many episodes was it, 12 episodes?
10.
10 episodes.
10 in season one, which covered all of the first book.
All of the first book. And each, from what we understand, each season will cover a book.
Yeah. I hope they get a couple extra episodes in.
How many books are there?
There are currently 4. The fifth one is out in July.
And there's going to be 7?
I think 7 total. It was originally supposed to be 5, I think, but then he said it's going to be 7.
And the reality is that if HBO keeps going with this, they will have the TV series completed before the books are out, because it takes them forever.
He's very slow.
So he knows what's going to happen, but he also has admitted that it may be very possible that the TV show could be inspiring him later on.
I'm curious how that's going to work. If they're just going to plow ahead, and I can't imagine they would do the show without the books as source material.
He's very supportive of it, so it should be interesting.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can catch reruns on HBO, HBO Go. The second season and DVD release should hit around spring 2012.
You gotta wait that long for DVDs.
Yeah, DVDs. Oh, HBO is real funny about that stuff. They don't like to put that stuff out there.
I mean, it makes sense from a promotional perspective, but to wait that long is just unheard of.
It is. So, Jared, why don't you tell me about you? I don't know if you started reading the books or listening to the books before or after, but give me your experiences with Game of Thrones.
I had started hearing buzz about the show earlier this year. Didn't really know anything about it, honestly, but a lot of people on Twitter seem to be really into it. So I'm like, well, that looks interesting. I could, but I don't have HBO, and I'm kind of scared to download HBO shows. So I guess I'm just not going to experience this until it comes on DVD.
Could have come over to our house and watched it.
Could have. Didn't realize it was an option until a couple weeks in, and I decided, eh. But then, Nathan and I had a road trip to PenguinCon in Michigan, which was going to be 13 hours each way. And so I decided to get myself a copy of the first audiobook, and that was going to be our drive time entertainment. Nathan's read the book 3 times, and he loves it enough that he was on board to listen to it.
Nathan watches it with us, by the way. He's like our guide as we're watching the show. Yes. He tells us what's happening.
Filling the extra.
It's very good to have that.
Why?
Because it's confusing.
There's
a little bit.
So much that goes on, and then just the background stuff you don't get.
You can't watch. You can certainly watch without it, but for dummies like me,
it's like how Lord of the Rings. There are a bunch of guys named almost the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of parallels in that.
There's just
weird
extra background to fill in people's motivations and stuff.
Yep.
So we got about halfway through that. And to and from, and I finished it up, and I was like, yeah, I can't wait to watch the show now. So I got caught up on the show and finished it up.
How'd you do that?
Pretty much with everyone else. You know?
No comment, Jared.
As they say in Jurassic Park, nature finds a way.
No, they say spare no expense.
Right. Also, the only quote I remember from Jurassic Park is when he goes like this,
fucking Wayne Knight. As he's trying to make his escape. Well, he does not survive. Anyway.
Clever girl. That's what I remember.
So I watched the show having been informed by what happens in the books. And, you know, it's a fantastic show. I'm not going to lie to you. It manages to squeeze in all of the important stuff from the books into one season of the show, and I'm frankly astounded by that. I mean, usually when you do an adaptation, there's so much that gets cut out and things get changed. You know, I can see where they made some economical choices and maybe condensed 2 scenes into one, with the end results basically being the same. And I'm fine with that. You know, it's like, and they managed to add in extra scenes. And they're easy, if you've read the book, they're real easy to spot, because each chapter of the book is told from a certain character's perspective, and this subset of characters gets reused throughout. So anytime you get a scene in the show which has 2 or 3 characters which are not perspective characters in the book, it's essentially a scene that wasn't in the book. But that, you know, it fleshes things out. I don't think they were all successful, and I have some issues with some of them, but overall, it's a fantastic show. The production, top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not really seeing any overuse of CG that was distracting or anything like that.
They do a good job of conveying the scale of it, even though clearly it's not, you know, they're not you know, working with giant castles and stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty amazing how they do this.
Yep.
And I've never read the book, Adam, but I have to say that how they so skillfully manage to juggle all these moving parts and all these complicated things and make it compelling and interesting and fascinating to watch is something I've never seen done on TV before. I've just never seen it before. It is that impressive. And to take such a genre type piece, which is essentially Lord of the Rings, and make it interesting so somebody like my wife loves it, they bring the drama to the front and make it about the characters and the story, and then the rest of the genre stuff just sort of works around it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so masterfully done that I think that it deserves all the praise and the credit that you could possibly heap upon it. Acting is great. I don't have a lot of big name actors in it. The only guy is Ned Stark, who is played by
Sean Bean
from Lord of the Rings.
Have you? How far in The Wire have you progressed?
I mean, I finished The Wire.
Okay, what's his name? The mayor character.
The
I forget Cicelli? His name. Guy. He plays a character on Game of Thrones, and okay. He's awesome in that too.
Who is he in Game of Thrones?
He plays Littlefinger.
Okay.
Is he another Wire character that's actually British in real life? Just like McNulty, just like Stringer?
I don't know if he's British or not. I just was like, I saw him, I'm like, where have I seen him before? I'm like, oh yeah, The Wire.
They don't have like weird fake British accents for everyone?
Yeah, everybody speaks with a British accent.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. I think there might be more boobs in the show than there were in the book.
A lot of boobs.
That's okay.
I think they're all real boobs too, because you have to be... You got to be realistic, right? So you're not seeing a lot of giant can ladies. A lot of male genitalia.
That's fair.
A lot of gore. I mean, stuff.
To the male genitalia? Or those are two separate things?
No,
I believe there is more gore to male genitalia in the book than there is in the show.
Okay. Yeah, they don't, they're not, you know.
Or at least references to it. There's often a common insult is to talk about cutting off one's manhood and feeding it to goats or some other farmland creature.
This is a brutal world. But it feels like, you know, back in our olden times, that this probably was a little bit like this.
It's a harsh life. You need to, you know, kill or be killed, really.
That's the story of this.
Yeah.
Are there good guys and bad guys? Everyone gray? Like, how's that work?
There are some archetypes that are, the Starks tend to be very, very good.
Yeah.
The Lannisters are often portrayed to be very, not really, I wouldn't say evil necessarily, but definitely scheming a little more,
driven by their own desires.
They're definitely not all black either. It's Tyrion.
Well, racist.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm talking black and white here.
So are we.
Still remains to be seen how the Targaryens are going to work out, considering you hear some of the stories of how the past Targaryen kings were. They were not always so good, but I don't know. There's a lot of story to tell.
Yeah, Adam could not recommend this show enough for you to watch. So
maybe I'll watch the first episode tonight.
Make sure you.
Would you recommend High Def? Like, is that because like it's?
I think so.
I wouldn't know
a spanning show.
Yeah, it's beautifully shot.
Yeah, if you have access to it, go for it. I watched it on SD because I'm still lame and don't have an HD TV. And besides, I don't like to waste my bandwidth on HD downloads.
He does not like to do that.
So
let's give this a score, Jared.
All right,
the Scoop score is 3.75 stars.
So close.
Wow. So close to perfect. Close.
You guys did a really good job talking around everything. Yeah. I don't feel spoiled.
I don't think we spoiled anything for
I think
you.
We did worse than just in band rehearsals and stuff talking, because John has watched it, I've watched and read the book, and now Nathan has done the same. Poor Jeff sits there not having read the book or watched the show, and we do our best not to spoil it for him, but... I think he works a government job, and he may have some free time coming up here.
and he is
vowed to probably start reading the books. So.
Yeah, I think I might want to try to read the books.
You put it ahead of The Wire right now? I mean, it's kind of unfair since The Wire has 5 seasons.
Gosh.
It's close,
I can't. I wouldn't say it. It's up there in quality, though.
Cool.
Give it time, and we'll see where it goes from there.
After finishing the next 60 hours of The Wire, maybe I'll have time.
All right. Well, let's move on to our last segment in Under the Scope. We like to call it Coming Soon. This is a long show, boys.
I hope it's coming soon to an end. Holy cow.
It is.
Do it.
The D-block will be
brief. Nothing's coming out. June 28th, Music. You forgot the header.
Sorry.
Beyonce has a new album coming out.
She does.
Yep. David Cook. Who's that? Is that an American Idol guy?
American Idol.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton? Is that an American Idol lady too?
Not American Idol. Her
what?
She made the It list on,
yeah, she did.
On Entertainment Weekly.
Limp Bizkit has an album coming out.
Holy
by the way, the newest Entertainment Weekly has a retrospective on Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but I did get that.
Limp Bizkit has a new album coming out.
Because everyone's clamoring for
they're
it.
They're still spelling that with a Z? This is the Bizkit part?
Yes. Bizkit, yeah. Yes. Gold Cobra, name of the album, if you're interested.
Gold Cobra. Interesting.
Gold Cobra.
I may give it a listen. We'll see.
Fred Durst was fake on a show I was recently watching where, like, he's running off stage, but it's not really him. I can't remember what show it was. Let's see. Taking Back Sunday. That's a band, I guess.
Yes, it is.
Thievery Corporation.
Sunday's been in need of taking back for a long time.
Bring it back to us.
It's God's day. I mean, we're taking it back from God.
I thought it was the sun's day, but what do I know?
God and the sun, they're the same.
Okay.
Allegory.
We're talking Trinity here, or are we talking actual wild gas in the sky?
Brian Eno.
Super producer.
Has an album coming out.
Yep.
Drums Between the Bells.
Gotcha.
Old 97s. Who's that?
Is that
97? City's 97?
Yeah, that's the listeners. Yeah. The old 97.
And then there's a band called The Teddy Bears. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Just Teddy Bears.
Yeah.
And their album's called Devil's Music.
They like to, what they do is they're sort of a dance outfit, and then they get famous people to sing, you know, sort of a Chemical Brothers type of thing.
Got it. Hmm. Movies, June 29th. Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And
we will be seeing that before it comes out in theaters, Jared. Well, actually, it will be in theaters.
That's where you'll
be seeing it. I don't know how to explain it, but we will be seeing that movie.
Right on.
So that's the only movie coming out that week. And then, so this is... Have you seen trailers for this Larry Crown movie?
Yeah.
This looks like the most boring movie I've ever seen.
I don't know.
In my life.
I like Tom Hanks.
I like Tom Hanks too.
Which movie?
I saw the
Larry Crown.
What was the airport movie?
With Julia Roberts.
I don't like Julia Roberts.
So. I never saw that movie.
Oh, I saw that movie. That's how much I like Tom Hanks.
The Terminal? Or
the Terminal.
Like that was bad.
I felt terminal. Like I had cancer. That's what I'm saying.
Wow, that is dark. Tom Hanks makes you feel like you have cancer.
July 8th, Zookeeper comes out.
The movie My Daughter Proclaimed.
To be a good movie or whatever?
We got to see that movie in the theater because it has talking animals. And then Adam wants her to review. So maybe I will.
Oh, okay. That's that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have to see that.
Was that on Twitter? Was that a Twitter conversation?
That was a Twitter and Facebook.
Follow me
at Shane, S-H-A-A-N-E-P on Twitter.
Here's what I almost typed. Your daughter is an idiot.
What?
I almost said that.
Wow.
But I didn't.
I wouldn't even admitted that you were almost going to say that because I will kill you.
What?
My daughter's awesome.
She has bad taste in movies.
Well, I mean, come on.
No, when I was that age, I had really
She
good
also
taste
likes
movies.
The Wire. I mean, what do you want? She loves The Wire.
All right, take it all back. So Zookeeper and Horrible Bosses.
Starring?
Horrible Bosses?
That's starring...
Is that Emma Stone?
No.
That one?
That's
no.
starring Jennifer Aniston. It's starring Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Yep. Emma Stone, isn't she in Bad Teacher? I don't know.
And that's starring Cameron Diaz, okay. Bad Teacher.
Emma Stone needs to be in more movies. That's all I know.
I don't get her. Sorry.
Oh,
I don't.
She's a rumored to be in the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
No, she has said that's not happening.
Oh, well, she's
just yesterday.
She's a bastard.
DVD, June 28th.
Yes.
Reboot, season 3 and 4. Yep. I don't know. Season of the Witch. Okay.
Nick Cage film.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was another one of those. He had that and Drive Angry this year and both got terrible. And then Thornbirds.
I knew you'd like that.
Thank you.
Big Thornbirds.
July 5th.
You love your classic miniseries, don't you?
What is
James Clavell? Is that the guy?
What's the Thornbirds?
It stars...
July 5th, Transformers, Japanese Collection, Headmasters.
Yes.
That's when the Transformers were in charge of a bunch of prep schools.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's only Japan.
Yeah. Best joke of the show right there.
No, not. No.
Boy Meets World Season 6.
I vote for Clitoris Power. I stand by Clitoris
Power. Video games, the week of June 26th, Body Count. I don't even know what that is.
That's Ice-T's famous song.
Yeah.
And his band, his thrash metal band.
Yeah, they're in video game for now.
Now that they've all left him because of his show on E, and they have their own video game. Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. They're doing the same thing they did with Street Fighter back when it was Street Fighter 2.
They're ruining it.
Have any of us played Street Fighter 4?
I would like to, but I have not played it.
I own it. I've played it
twice. Maybe I do own it.
I think I played it once.
Also,
I think I've the other one.
Other game on here, and this is how I used to pronounce it.
I don't have Super Street Fighter 4. I just have regular Street Fighter 4.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Boring.
Yeah.
Back when I used to play Carmen Sandiego, Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, I love the nasty warriors.
Because I didn't, yeah. Because
so
I didn't know how that's how
they
you
are so nasty.
Nasty.
So, yeah, Dynasty nasty. Warriors. July 3rd, nasty. Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon.
That's all I could find.
That's
not
worst,
a lot coming out that
worst
week.
Kind of Armageddon. You could put XBLA games on here, you know.
I suppose I could.
The Summer of Arcade starts in a few weeks.
Okay. What's what are there any highlights you can talk about?
Like a
about?
Bunch of highlights.
Awesome. I look forward to each and every one of them.
Like a bunch.
How about this? How about this?
The kid video one? That's going to be
how about
a download.
This? Fruit Ninja Connect.
I don't give a shit about Fruit Ninja.
I don't give a shit
I got
about Connect
this.
Games.
I got it on that. I got a Connect, so suck it. And I don't give a shit about Connect games. I will when there's a special adapter that pops onto it that allows you to need 40% less space.
Like they have one.
It's coming out.
It's coming out.
I'm getting that, and then I will actually use my Kinect.
Then I will come over and see if I want to.
Is this an official Xbox thing, or is
no,
this someone
it's
else
like
came up
Nico
with
Nico or something?
Yeah. Somebody came up with a device that allows you to need less space.
Yes,
seriously.
It basically
puts a lens on it.
Yeah, they're like concave lenses.
Why didn't Microsoft just think
I don't
of
know.
That?
It's like $30.
That could be the best video game purchase I make of the year.
It's possible.
Amazing.
And then we could finally have our dance
at E3. People were all saying it worked really well. So.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I've yet to actually participate or watch anyone play a Kinect game.
We have Kinect in my office, but we have it in a big conference room. So like, there is
a lot of fun to play.
It's a lot. Yeah, I mean, you know, for dumb mini games, it's like when the Wii first came out. But the Wii came out 4 years ago. I don't.
Dance Central's fun, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just hard because you look like an asshole.
Got to get over that, I guess.
And speaking of looking like an asshole, let's close up coming soon. Let's close up Under the Scope.
Why is everything...
Everything seems clipped.
I don't get it.
Under the Scope.
It's your computer telling you.
Yes. It knows.
Let's get out of here. Let's get a new computer going.
Shane, I'm going to save us some time. We don't have any comments.
Frickin' A.
There's been very few comments. And I don't like to read every comment.
Yeah.
You know, I like to hit the noteworthy comments. Not that I don't appreciate regular comments. You know, I'm happy when Gary comments and says that he's just listened to episode 104 and he's behind. That's good information. I don't know that it needs to be on the show, even though I just said it.
Boy, you're
so,
a poser.
So, if you have noteworthy comments...
If you have clitoris power...
By all means, comments at thescopeshow.com. You can
only
comment.
Allowing females to comment.
Or if you go like this,
Everything should have a Wayne Knight screen thing.
Jerry.
You can just comment on the post on the blog for this episode. You can call our voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. I will now give you another opportunity to put it into your phone. You can pause the show here. And now we're back. I'm assuming that you have put that phone number in your phone, not only if you're going to be attending Convergence, Shane, but just any time in your life when something exciting happens and you feel like you need to call in and tell us about it and just dial it up. 612-21-SCOPE.
Dial it up. I'm doing it. Hold on.
Adam hasn't even added it to his phone. That's amazing. You're calling it now?
Shane just told me to. I felt bad after I implied that I would call his daughter an idiot.
Yeah. You should feel bad about that.
Wow. You can also...
Only Carrie and I are allowed to say that.
You can follow our exploits on Facebook and on Twitter. It's facebook.com/thescope.
Oh, and there are exploits. There's no doubt about that. Our text adventure games that we put in there.
Yeah. We're reenacting Zork. twitter.com/thescopeshow. I haven't checked iTunes reviews lately.
My guess is they probably pulled this from iTunes.
There probably aren't any reviews. If you have, if you want to give us a review, that'd be awesome in iTunes. It's always a good thing.
Maybe we need to review ourselves.
Maybe.
Let's get the ball rolling.
I feel like we all have already.
I haven't.
Oh. As always, there's a donation button on the website. Mm-hmm. $5 donation will get you a sponsorship of the show, and we will mention your name at the beginning, which means more audio production for me, but hey, that's what your money buys.
Shane will S your D.
And I also
added
a new feature. Adam, you weren't here on the last show, so you probably didn't hear about this. You can now subscribe in PayPal for $2 a month if you want to make an ongoing contribution. I was going to do $1, but PayPal takes such a big chunk of $1, I went to $2. So if you feel like doing that, there's a button on the website to click on that. That'll just automatically pay us $2 from your PayPal account on a monthly basis, and you can cancel anytime. And but our biggest moneymaker, because this show put a lot of work into the show, so it doesn't hurt to get a few dollars back, is our Amazon affiliate account. You can just click on the link on our website. Once again, you guys have been going gangbusters in the last quarter. Let's say quarter two, 2011 has been a pretty good quarter.
We like that. It's like we sound very business-like.
I was on the earnings call. Things sounded like they were going pretty well.
MarketWatch.com covering us.
We're talking, you know, very, very low amounts.
Low millions
enough
is
to
what
cover
we're saying.
Any
low millions.
Any enough to cover our operating costs and any sort of, you know, extra things like business cards and stuff like that. Yeah. With a little leftover for
U-porn
future projects.
Subscription.
Maybe we'll do some prizes or something. Who knows?
But, I like that. Prizes.
But, you know, it doesn't cost you anything and we get a little kickback. And then, you know, the more I notice this, the more that we sell in a given month, our higher our referral rate goes. So, it's awesome, you know?
Thank you for supporting us.
The more you spend, the more we get. And it costs you nothing more. And who doesn't shop at Amazon?
Everybody shops at Amazon.
Yeah, right. If you're an Amazon Prime member, that's free two-day shipping right there.
Bam.
If you have a .edu email address, you can be an Amazon Prime member for free.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why is Angie not an Amazon Prime member? I need to talk to her.
Yeah.
Jared, turn off the show. Go talk to her.
That's all I got,
and we're
Shane.
Back.
That's all I got.
No, I've got two things, Jared.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know why you're not plugging your performance.
Oh, shit. That's right. Convergence! As you know, we'll be there. My band, Possible Oscar, will be performing in Harmonic Convergence on Saturday, July 2nd, 1 p.m. It is an acoustic show. We're calling it our three-stop acoustic tour. This is stop number two. Our third stop will be in the fall. And that's it.
One other thing. I want to issue a hearty, hearty congratulations to Jared.
What'd I do?
And his bandmates.
What?
For last Tuesday,
all
making
right.
it into the Rock Band video game.
You oh, yeah.
You can buy
I heard
a Possible
that.
Oscar song.
Yep.
It's all of the people are buzzing about it
all
on Harmonix. I mean, anybody that buys music, they're talking about this song. What's it called, Jared?
The song is called Dead Again. It was actually a cover of a song written by Tom Smith. I believe you can go to Tom Smith online for more of his stuff. He's also Filker Tom on Twitter.
So you can hear Jared in Rock Band. I know nobody's playing Rock Band anymore except me, but I think it's a great honor. I look forward to at least one or two more Possible Oscar songs in there. Maybe ones that are easier to sing, because that one that you have in there
a lot
is
of
impossible.
Words. I can't even sing. I've said this on our last podcast, too. It's like, hey, if you guys can make it through that song, great great on you, because we've never done it live. I've never had to sing it in all the way through.
And
when we recorded it, I did multiple takes and, you know, did some editing to make it work, because that's how you record music. And, yeah, so even I can't do it. So if you make it all the way through and get a good score, you're a better performer than I am on that song.
Very good.
There you go. And it made the Rock Band Network highlights list.
Yes, there was a bunch of music that came out that week in Rock Band Network, and you were selected and given two reviews.
Nice.
So I think that was very, very cool.
5 out of 5 for sheer playability was one of the quotes.
Sheer playability.
Or fun and playability.
And it was actually had some very difficult guitar action in there, because I immediately booted it right up and... It was tricky.
Those guitar solos, fun fact, they were improvised.
Improvised?
They were not planned ahead of time. John just had to throw in a guitar solo, and he just improvised it. Probably first take.
I love it.
That's how awesome John is.
Thank you for destroying the illusion. Appreciate it.
I'm really just trying to push this to the 2-hour mark.
All right. So we've got Convergence coming up. I want everyone to follow us closely, all of our antics on Facebook and Twitter, as Jared mentioned. We're going to try to be more active, hopefully.
We've all got
smartphones, though, Jared. I've got a smartphone,
yep.
And I'm really going to try to use it. And Adam is going to parachute in, as well. Luke Ski is going to depict dramatically.
He's only got a few days to get this done.
He'll
so.
Do it. Right. He will do it and send it to us. And if he doesn't, so, he's dead to me.
In summary, the art projects were Adam dressed as Egon, cartoon Egon.
Yes.
Parachuting in.
With a fan.
With a fan and a steampunk proton pack.
Yes.
And the other one was...
clitoris.
Jared in blackface.
Slam dunking a basketball. And then a clitoris with a Hitler mustache.
Not me. I don't want to be the guy in blackface.
Jared does not want
no,
to be a blackface.
I don't support that.
I support
you
that,
say
but
that
I already
on
have
here.
One. I already have one, Jared, so it's not my fault.
Everyone has to have one in this show. Okay, everybody, let's wrap this thing up.
I should hit this button here.
Yes. There we
what
go.
I hate this fucking computer.
Episode 111 is over, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back very soon with more Scope.
Bye.
See you then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
How do you say goodnight in Russia?
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.